You're listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to fakeologist.com/radio3. To participate in the chat, go to fakeologist.com/audio chat. Each day, we compress and upload the day's chat, be it big or small. Leave a quick message, do a whole show. All are welcome when it's related to fakeology. Now, on with today's audio.
Hi everyone, you are listening
now recording.
Hi everyone, you are listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com. It is currently Sunday, the 1st of September 2019. And by saying that, I remember that this is my older brother's birthday. I absolutely got to give him a call, which is totally off topic, but anyway. So I am with Gaia, and we are with recurring member Faye of Fakeopedia fame, and also a few memorable audio chat. So Faye is back, which is always good. And she's also in Switzerland. I think that you are still in Switzerland.
Hello, Jerry's, and hello, Gaia. And I would like to take 2 minutes to greet App. Hello, App. I'm really terribly sorry about my confusion all the time. Maybe it can happen again. I don't hope so, but I am a very affective person and very emotional, so I cannot promise anything. But if I feel fear again and paranoia, I will leave. So thanks, Up, for allowing me back again. And hello to the old companions fighting over topics. Tom D27, Unreal, Rolo, Rachel, I don't remember all the names, Dave J, JLB, of course, still here, I don't know, so, yeah.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Tom Dapper on Fakeologist.com.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about IPS, how is it called? International? No, not it.
Infinite Plane Society.
Ah, yes, exactly.
Herzlichen Dank, Tom Dalpra.
Herzlichen Dank, Tom Dalpra. Tom Dalpra, you're still defending the gender of the British crown? You moron! They are all genetically modified monsters. Okay, that was just for fun. Okay. Yeah, Infinite Plane Society. I like the idea, actually. I like the idea of infinite. I don't like the idea of plane, because plane is 2D. It's impossible. I like the idea of society. I don't like digital currencies, and I don't like being pushed to digital currencies. It's the IMF who is pushing it, and it's the Democratic Party in the United States. That's what I was trying to say. This guy entered the alternative scene with a big caramba or a carajo, or how is it called in English, about some black guy who hoaxed his death, and he got many, many black people, or I don't know how to say it politically more correct. And my suspicion was always he actually is pushing or is part of the agenda of the Democratic Party for the next elections in the United States. But I'm not living there, and I don't know.
Only be a convex sphere. Everybody on Earth can do the Orion test. There is no discussion possible. It is geometry, natural law. Gaia's laws.
Okay. Who's doing that? Are you doing this, Jerris? Or you, Gaia? Who's pushing the buttons? Come on, guys, you're not talking.
Like I said, I don't have the typing speed to accomplish
this. This is Tripped Bar.
Yes.
Tripped Amino? Tripped
Amino? Not anymore, sadly.
Why?
Not anymore. I can say that I can pinpoint one specific reason, but he's not around anymore.
Please come back, TRYPT.
That's a pity, because he did so much work with programming, as I saw.
Yes.
With all these bots and chat. Oh, okay.
Yes, this Discord channel is one of the best in the technical sense. And
best in the world! The best in the world! The best. There's nothing better. It's best.
I never came across another Discord channel that has the technical capacity that we have here.
Yeah, Gaia. That was Gaia on tape. Huh?
On tape? No, I'm sitting here on my balcony of my palace looking at the cyclists on Sunday. And they're running.
I see your
nice
microphone.
Girl, we are running blue shirts. Maybe she needs a refresher afterwards.
You have your microphone closed. How are you talking?
I have my microphone closed. How can you hear me?
I can hear you and I see your microphone closed on the display.
I like to bring logic into the discussion, you know what I mean?
Gaia, you are on the 7th floor. How can you see a girl?
The 7th floor?
Girl?
No, the 16th floor.
You published a photography once with a small file.
I don't live in the same place as last time we talked. I live now at home.
At home? Not in Bogota?
If you can call that
in Bogota.
Home.
In Bogota.
I will call that the resting place of a king, even.
Okay, never mind. Never mind.
Resting place. Yeah, it's true. It's true. I'm resting a lot here.
So, Jerris, you are actually Russian? Did I get that right?
No.
You are not Russian?
I am totally Swiss. I am 100% ethnically Swiss.
I don't believe it. So you were just pushing mud flat and stuff?
Mudflat? I've never heard. Or
Tartarian Empire or something?
Huh?
Probably not. That is two topics. You might tell me something about Tartarian.
I'm confused. I'm confused.
Yes.
So you're confusing me with Nick. Probably.
Maybe.
Nick,
yes,
it was this Russian dude in the USA. Which Gaia can be enough.
he left.
Away.
Yeah, no, I didn't chase him away. I was very critical. What do you expect if someone claims that he knows someone and has held in his hand a piece of plane with American Airlines logo on it?
Now
please,
I remember.
Please pay. Let me finish.
Yeah, of course, but I'm just saying I remember the story.
Yeah, I know, but let me finish, please.
Yeah.
I lose my train of thought quite quickly.
We were speaking about the American Airlines piece of plane.
Yeah. Now, Nick, he joined, and we talked on Discord a couple of times. Seemed like a nice guy, but he was very much believing Judy Wood, and she was the best explanation. And I can sympathize with that, because for me, it was the same thing. Before I knew about September Clues and the Clues Forum and Simon Shack. Before I watched September Clues and joined immediately a Clues Forum, I didn't know anything about them. So, for me, I was like, the two main narratives were also the ones I thought were most likely, Judy Wood and Kalizov, the Russian guy. He talked about nukes and she talked about direct energy weapons, of course. I mean, back then, I mean, the thing is, the observations, and what Simon did so excellently was showing that the observations, we cannot make them because we don't have footage we can base ourselves on. So he did that greatly, and since then, I mean, Clues Forum is dead now. There's a, I want to do a shout out, there's a Turkish guy who is at Clues Forum. He's an excellent video producer, and I've shared these videos last night and before as well, and I invited him here. He hasn't joined yet, but on YouTube, because this guy is really talented and very funny in his videos, combining music, movie material, movie if it's Hollywood or the other Hollywood, NASA, and excellent work. Watch him, Tanner T, on YouTube. I hope he joins. And Russ joins.
So that was Nick. I get it. So, Jerris, you are really a totally Swiss guy and living in Geneva and joining Fakeologists. How did that come?
It came because I am a huge conspiracy podcast consumer for, I think, the past 10 years or so. So it was logical that I came across Fakeologist audio chat once or twice, and I always was listening on and off from different audio chat or whatever. And I once heard Ab mentioning the Discord server, and I don't know why this specific time it hit me more than the 10,000 other time I heard about Discord. But I joined, I've been there for like since late March, I think.
Yes, I know when you joined. I was listening till then. I was listening sometimes.
Yes.
But so you have experience also with conspiracy guys in Switzerland?
You said you were listening
10 years. No, I mean, yeah, there is a network in Switzerland also about alternative search and stuff.
Yes, I'm really not familiar about the local person, I would say. And I also get to say that I almost exclusively consume media in English language, so...
Ah, okay, not in French.
Not anymore, not that much, to be honest.
Yeah.
So... Cool.
So you are not using Matplat.
No. And like I said, I was there from like March, and since there was not much audio activity, I started a weekly audio chat that is going on well, I think.
Hello, Original Simuland. We have been joined by Original Simuland, the one and only Master Mason. I don't know. To be honest, they have quite some interesting theories, these Masons, and I understand why, now I understand, earlier I didn't understand it, now I understand why young people prefer to go to join such clubs. It's more interesting maybe than just bowling around.
Yes, and the thing is that it still contains a big part of mystery, and that is fascinating for younger minds and everyone. I mean, if you join a religion or whatever, it's not that there is any mystic or any secret to be revealed or discovered, but the theology and how can I say that, the ritual, the step that you will take, you already kind of know them. But in Masonry, I figure, in my honest opinion, that it is different, and people join mainly, I think, because of the adventure and the surprise factor.
Yes,
and the enlightenment,
it's a mental adventure, and it's a little bit more mysterious than Hollywood, because Hollywood has become very transcendent. Yeah,
Gaia is not able to talk at the moment, but subject to maybe review meet the plan Patagonia, Nazionism or Holocaust story.
Gaia, the great Holocaust and Nazism. And Zionism theorist.
I think that by now I am quietly aware of Gaia theory on different subjects.
The theory is especially not bad, but it is historically very inclusive. There are only, I don't know, 10 guys in the world that are put in this story. And, you know, as all the stories that are trying to reconstruct history, pushing it more to the true interpretation. It is isolated. It is not possible to gain a majority in such story.
It is almost impossible to obtain a majority on anything, and I think that is the point of this place in the end. I said earlier on an earlier audio chat that it has no sense to have two people agreeing on anything, on everything for 2 hours straight.
Yeah, but
makes absolutely no sense.
The meaning of mass media is exactly that. They have the planetary exclusivity for producing the historical narrative. So, you know, there is nobody worldwide, neither left nor right nor anything, except some really very, very, very isolated thinkers that are, for example, saying the Holocaust did not happen as told. Just that. Without saying what exactly, or it did not happen like they are saying in Wikipedia about 9/11. They have the exclusivity for producing historical narrative. So that's the meaning of this technology. That's the meaning of this epoch that we are in, and that's also the reason why the churches are driving crazy. Because the exclusivity for producing the narrative earlier was by the Bible and by the several Bibles.
If the mainstream admits the official stories are a false, it is all out there. There actually is no conspiracy.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever the truth is, it is always good to document the path coming closer to it. Fakopedia is an excellent way to do that together.
Apropos Fakopedia, thank you Gaia for not deleting anything from the 9/11 archive. I tried to put in the Fakopedia all the stuff that was on the Clues forum. It was actually impossible, but I transferred the main corpus of the information so that others can join and continue maybe.
Gaia said in Noi, I am not the one deleting stuff. That was your territory.
That's true. Because I was very suspicious about the brachiality, is that an English word?
Yes, I think so.
About the brachiality of, you know, producing this Nationism stuff is very important, but there have been many books written about it, and there are many historical guys that are being hunted as, I don't know, maybe controlled opposition or not, but all this stuff is not there, and there is only a very simple narrative produced by this Gaia Zone, no, not Gaia Zone, Truth Zone people, and Gaia, in my opinion, I'm not sure about it, but it's my hypothesis that Gaia had his interpreter skeletal about the story and took all that information that was produced in these discussions in Truth Zone and compiled somehow this story. That's okay, but it's not really foundation for this story.
Gaia said were all the fake satellites and space telescopes quote-unquote anti-Semitism too or so.
I didn't get that. But, yeah, that was the reason why I deleted this Nationism story. And I didn't delete anything else. I just restructured it, and I put stuff in new pages, and I made 3 sub-lists to the main lists so that we have small and big hoaxes separately. And it was just my opinion, and I think it's okay if Gaia changes it again. I don't mind. I have not the truth in my pocket. It's about this.
Yes, no one has definitely the truth in either our pocket. But I cannot say that any answer is true. And like you said, it's very, very difficult to establish a narrative that will satisfy everyone.
Gaia said, what about Plan Patagonia?
I didn't read it. This was after my time, Gaia. I was not there anymore when you started putting Patagonia there. I didn't read it. I'm not so interested, actually, in Patagonia. And actually, to be really honest, I think the German population should have more interest in researching all this stuff. I don't feel inclined to research it. I have other topics now. Greek society post-war and Greek society post-junta. It's my main focus now. And I maybe am not doing it here on Fakeologist because I would like to produce something in Greek also so that the people there would have an access to thoughts that are not really... There has been nothing done past the case. Yeah, that's about Patagonia. I know nothing.
To give you a quick breakdown, it is the discovery made by Gaia and probably a lot of other individuals, but who knows, about the fact that the biggest and most exploitable land in the world that is unoccupied is quietly and silently bulked by a set of millionaires and corporate entity and powerful people since the last 30 years or so, I would think, probably. And apparently, Feyas left us, which is...
Gaia said 72% of Tierra del Fuego is owned by 9 people.
Which is just the figure itself should worry you. It is not possible to have such a small set of individual controlling such an enormous patch of land. It's not something that is great for mankind, I would think. And it is clearly not a good sign for the future. So, I consider, I'm totally okay with the fact that some people can consider that it's not interesting. But for myself, it's fascinating. It's something that needs to be studied and keep an eye on and keep track of the movement of this land and whatever, because in the end, it's not something that is democratic, if I can say, to have such a small group of individuals having such a big amount of land. And if it is power, land, money, or whatever, it's always a problem. So let's not be blinded by the fact that it happened far away for most of us and that is, at the moment, doesn't have a great incidence in our life. I think that it
Gaia said just Ushuaia in Tierra del Fuego holds fresh water resources that can feed the whole world population for 200 years.
So just that.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
So anyway, as I was saying, Plan Patagonia is something that everyone that is interested in the world and the movement of things and the way the things are shaping for the future should be interested in that topic and at least, at the very least, give a quick look to the Fakeopedia page that Gaia so kindly put together. And I appreciate the effort. And I really, really want to thank him for that. Excellent work and really, really fascinating. And like I said, it is a topic that is not to be forgotten. Like you were saying, Faye, that you are not that interested in Patagonia. I think that Patagonia is at the core of what is happening in the world today. It's the state of the future. It's the possibility of a new world, if you know what I mean. Something that was not there for mankind for many, many, many years, many decades. But now there is
Where is this country?
This country doesn't exist yet. It's a patch of land, a gigantic patch of land between the Argentina and Chile.
A patch of land.
And it's been slowly bought by a set of rich individuals for a purpose unknown. We can cite the Benetton family that is owning almost a million hectares of land in Patagonia, and they are into mining or whatever, so they can always say that there is an economic activity there. But I think that...
Gaia said 1 million square kilometers, 2 million people.
1 million? Great.
Can you imagine that?
Crazy. No, I didn't read it. I didn't read the Wikipedia and all these new entries, but maybe I will. I don't know. I have enough time in the future. You know, actually, I was thinking there are speculations about a new, let's say, mini ice age or something.
Gaia said plus another 1 million, the claims on Antarctica and control of the Drake Passage.
This could be real if there are speculations about this global cooling or whatever, sunspot minimum, Maunder minimum related, and all the cycles. It could be that they are preparing, I mean, they means the guys who have the means. The guys who have the means is a good definition. So that maybe they are preparing for survival after, for example, crops are not going to be produced in as they are now, and we are heading to a global famine.
Gaia said there is no global climate, no cooling and no warming. It is the biggest financial and religious scam of all.
Both is wrong, Gaia? Cooling also?
Anyway, I think that it's interesting in the sense that if any massive it is climatic or political or whatever perturbation happened to humanity, you could sustain yourself on this land.
Yeah, the thing is, there is no global climate, though, so there is no global warming, no global cooling, nothing that cannot
exist. Please elaborate that, Gaia.
I have done that in earlier chats, but there is no global climate. Climate is a regional to local phenomenon. Yeah? There is no global climate. I mean, you guys had rain,
no,
I
that's
had
the
perfect
weather.
No, weather, climate is just weather over many years. That's it.
Okay. I understand what you're saying.
So, it is the stability of weather, actually.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yes, of course.
The peaks and the peaks and lows of weather over a certain time period, that is climate. There's nothing else. Yeah?
Yes.
There is no global climate. That's bullshit. There is one global source for all activity on Earth, and that's the sun, of course.
Yeah.
And it has effect. But the overprint of local and regional factors is far and far bigger. I mean, El Niño, La Niña, I mean, I have the effects every year, right?
Yes.
But what about some sites?
My point is, for example, something we had in earlier years with the Icelandic volcano, which name
that's
I will not try to pronounce. And we, if we were to without summer that we spoke about,
oh, very well done. Say the bot couldn't do it that well. yes, that is real. I mean, study the Tambora, the biggest volcanic eruption in history. The one I've been, right? There is no
YouTube.
Yes, yeah. Sumbawa. I mean, that was a real climate change. I talk about it if for audiences of hundreds of people, and I say that was real climate change, right? And not this bullshit they push today. And I look at the faces, and of course, some people were like a bit shocked by that. So yeah, fuck you, right? There is no global climate, and the thing is, what people perceive is, people here, especially in the city that has grown from 500,000 people when my father-in-law was young, so in the 1940s, till 10 million today. It's insane, right? So the concrete jungle is what causes what people perceive as global warming, as warming. Because most people live in cities, and the concrete, I mean, any type of building material maintains heat and releases it much slower than grass greenery, natural stuff, right? So that means that there is warming, perceivable warming. We had much more snow when we were young, right? That is true. That doesn't mean that there
is a
global change.
Clearly.
That is what
like I said, it makes sense for me that such individuals with unlimited amount of wealth and power still have a backup plant like a small property in Patagonia with enough reserve to sustain themselves for like you said, a year without summer, for example.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still there. But you were making a point earlier about this IPS.
Now there are many topics. Maybe we have to, I have to get faster with my English. No, I think this IPS guy is, has a good idea, but he is putting it in a context which is exploitation of this good idea, and that is something I don't like, actually. And to be honest, I do not profit from discussions anymore. This Autohawk thing it's a running gag. You know, he does not really say that he is not really criticizing in a decent way the media productions, etc., and putting it in a political context. He has produced some books which are on Amazon, which are really not there is no content. It's just some sentences. He's affiliated with some guys who are pushing digital currencies and some other esoteric thoughts. I say all this because I joined before leaving completely the Discord. I left every Discord channel that I had, but before that I joined the IPS Discord channel and talked also to this guy and others which were there on the stream. I don't know if it was recorded or not. Maybe it was. That's my impression. And maybe it's a wrong impression, but I'm not also interested in that platform because it is too unpersonal, unindividual for me. Something like that. Infinite Plane, it's about the idea, as I understand it. It's about the idea that the world is not finished and we do not have any chance to change it. It's about the reoccupation of the possibility and capability of human beings to determine their own lives and time and future. And I like this. I agree with this idea. But I don't like the rest of the context. So, not... And that I think he is the... Yeah. Yeah.
That is the great summary of the conversation that I have with that I had with Ab just before we had Tim Osman from IPS on Fakeologist. So it is a great summary of a few points that we make. But like I said, I like the organization skill and I like the way he speaks. He's a very, very intelligent guy and good organizer and whatever. And he appealed to a certain crowd that it is difficult to reach. So I commend that. I think that it's great. But yes, a lot of his investigation field I don't really care about.
Yeah, yeah. What are your main topics, Ferris? Or you said you are more about the big picture, so climate is about the big picture and future of humanity or something?
Yes, I wonder what the human will try for in the future. I think that the valor, and I don't want to speak like an old fart, because I am only 35, so. But yes, I think that the world is changing very, very quickly, and I wonder what will happen. I try to find a new field of investigation to try to see what the world will be. And I saw that, I didn't see it earlier, but I start to see more and more a big, big push for, how can I say that? For the emancipation of women in Switzerland. For a country that only gave the voting right to women in 1981, there is a big push in favor of women in Switzerland at the moment. Not that I am against it, to be honest, but I want to see what it will make in the end.
I don't know. I'm very skeptical about the population in Switzerland and the political thought. This is a so much corrupt country. It's just impossible to behave without being corrupt. It's impossible to do a step in the streets without being corrupt. It's really...
It's interesting that you say that because I don't know if you follow any mainstream news in Switzerland. But,
I follow everything.
Okay, so you are aware
just
that there is
So
you know that you are aware that there is in Geneva kind of rambling in the Republic because this high end politician named Pierre Maudet was.
I don't follow the Geneva. That's the cantonal politics. I don't follow it because of the.
Yes, exactly. But this guy was for many years. Our best hope of our having someone in the federal council, you know,
what
he was
the name
golden
of
boy of regional politics, if you want. He was destined for great things.
Is that Guy Parmelin?
No. It was no Guy Parmelin is from the canton of Vaud. I talk about Pierre Maudet from Geneva, and the
Pierre
guy
Maudet,
was.
Yeah.
And the guy was stupid enough, supposedly, to take a trip all expense paid to the Formula One Grand Prix in Abu Dhabi with his whole family.
Oh, maybe he met Simon Schack there.
So anyway, the guy supposedly lost all hope of being in a federal council. And there is also the fact that the construction company paid like 10,000 or 100,000 Swiss francs to... someone that was, strangely enough, in charge of construction. So, like you said, corruption is there everywhere. People in,
The Swiss, you know, just an aside, the Swiss official, what is his name? DETRA, Département de...
La Statistique.
No, ce n'est pas la Statistique. It is the official department for international cooperation. It's like the Ministry of Exterior of Switzerland. They supported the American in the American election the last. They supported with $500,000 the Clinton Foundation. This is completely illegal. You know, in any country of the world, it is completely illegal that an official organization of a country supports a party in elections of another country. This is absolutely illegal. And they did it. And it is because the Clinton Foundation is part of many of the big corporations of Switzerland. And it is so corrupt. You cannot explain it. They are sitting in every presidency of any kind of international corporation.
Yes,
and it is not only the Democrats of the United States, it's also the Republicans, it's also the Democrats in France and in Germany and in Britain, in all the Western countries, and in also all the important Eastern countries. So it is the international corporate elite which is producing our history, our mythology, our culture, our music, our theater, our paintings, everything. It is so much corrupt. And Switzerland is the high end of all of it, you know?
Yes, the example I give is that you can't slip a banknote to a cop here to skip a control or whatever, but try to build a building here without paying someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so it's not so overt. I will say that in some other country, like probably a third world country or whatever. But you cannot do anything here in Geneva, at least if you are not well connected and introduced to the right person at the right moment.
Guys, my internet went out, sorry.
Okay.
I just want to share on air a couple of comments.
Yeah,
I posted a couple of things on the blog of Josh. He used to be a member at Peace of Mindful, and he was a writer for Miles Mathis.
Ah, Josh.
Yes, he is an Jewish American who lives in Israel. But I wouldn't hold that against him per se.
He's very smart.
Yes, I shared his research.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good researcher. Together with his friend, Vexman, he is Slovenian. Also, his research, I also commented on his blog even before joining Peace of Mindful and therefore before Fakeologist.
He deconstructed one of the big assassinations, I remember. What was the name? Menin.
Yeah, Megan Begin. Begin.
Menachem Begin.
The other guy, Rabin, Yitzhak Rabin, he looked into that. Also Gandhi, that was George. Vexman looked into the great miracle.
And the flotilla. This flotilla, you know, this flotilla attack.
Oh, the raid. Raid, the Israelis in the US. IDF raid on the, what's the ship name? So, but the thing is, he has a very disorganized blog, which is more than I have, but he has one topic where he asked the question, space fakery, the final frontier. So, what is real and what is fake? So, I present my case very without going into any personal things or so. And I get some interesting reactions there. I would like to read to you. The only other guy you know from here who is there, who gets not the same reactions, but of course, because of his even way more extreme stance, interesting backfire as well, with his SMJ.
SMJ, who was here at Fakeologist also?
Yes, the same Sean SMJ. Yes. Well, so I presented my points, and you can read them, so I'm not going to read them. But
if you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dreams.
And come talk to us. Get some value for your money. Yeah, isn't it really strange that you pay for a website where you never join? But okay, it's fine. I mean, it's nice that people support the app. That's well deserved. There's a guy there. His name
I'm
is
going G- to support app again after I meet him. Because I don't support anymore financially. Because I don't have the confidence. Or how's it okay. called? Sorry, Gaia, for the interruption.
There's a guy there, Jared Magnuson, and he also was at Peace of Mindful before the schism there last year. And, he is a big pusher of mainstream pseudoscience. What he says about me makes clear that he doesn't know me, obviously, because you guys know me. I quote, "I disagree. Gaia's sphere is, what's this, her own project and uses her own brand of religious spookery to attempt to throw us off. I ran into her over at Peace of Mindful before Tokarski fucked up and overplayed his hand. And it was garbage over there as well. Nobody is actually that stupid, liked by Nada0101. So that was just a minor comment before. What do you think of that?
Over Feedly, I was dropping by to the feed of what's the name? Not Peace of Mindful. That's that from Josh. Cutting through the fog. Yeah, cutting through. I have it on my Feedly, and I was dropping by depending on the topic. I was. For example, this stuff with the cycles of sunspot and minima, etc. I was reading it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But this discussion between you and Jared Magnuson, I didn't follow it, actually.
No, I didn't. I saw this. I don't discuss with him. He reacts on me, and I ignore
him. He reacts on you, yeah.
I
know about him
from long history.
I know about him that he has a very big supporter group on Facebook.
He plays the alpha male, but he's replicating mainstream things, and he's not.
So he believes in a globe. He believes in a globe.
There is no belief in a globe. It can only be a globe. So there is no discussion. This fact is natural law. You can do the Orion test. Everybody can do that. You don't need NASA. The stars can be bags of popcorn. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, please.
I don't have an opinion about it. You know that.
It hasn't changed. You cannot say, I have an opinion about the color of the sun. That is impossible. That's a fact of life. That's Gaia's laws. It's the physical world. That's real reality. Yeah. It is no.
I don't know.
It is just
I haven't seen a picture of it. I haven't seen an image of it, really.
Okay.
I'm just saying he is pushing mainstream science. What do you mean about that?
No, he's mixing things. Okay, a little bit more background.
Yeah.
Josh and Vetchman and Jared and all the others there, probably, are... I like Miles Matthews and his work on hoaxes and history especially. But... they are groupies. They are cult members. They completely believe in this charge field theory. And I'm not saying this theory is wrong. I don't have any ground to say that because, in my view, we cannot go into space. We cannot gather data. So we cannot come up with another model.
Theory,
I don't know if it's a gravitational model either. I cannot prove that either. But at least the nigger Jews, they use that model. So they have to be held accountable to their own work. That's it, right? That's science, not scientism. Yeah. So I will read another comment by Jared Magnuson, and that is actually where my last post yesterday, where I summarized every point, right? I went, nobody believes the moon landings. Let me read a couple of things. Maybe it's nice. Mars rovers, asteroids, landings, do it right the first time. Pluto images, never stars where they should be. The green screen show of the ISS, the list is endless. Manned space travel would be awesome. But reading the comments here, luckily nobody seems to believe those stories. Yuri Gagarin's own wife admits on camera he hasn't been to space. In the end, there is no conspiracy, like I said, right? There is no conspiracy. It is all out in the open. Unmanned probes, then. We have the Voyager myth that allegedly left our solar system for, what was it, Alpha Centauri, and I don't know exactly the star that actually was going to, allegedly. In the 1970s, photographing Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and beyond. Seriously? My parents couldn't take a roll of film through the airport without destroying my baby photos. But all these fancy space thingies could just bend all physical laws and show us crystal clear photos of celestial bodies, where they, as always, forgot to capture the stars, planets, galaxies, stellar clouds, and whatnot in the background. The quote-unquote space shuttles, I am sure they were working planes then. Why would that be real, and all the rest fake? But more importantly, how do they come to the ridiculous anti-physical idea of zero gravity? It cannot exist. Gravity, according to their own model, is omnipresent and omnipotent. No zero G, guys, no matter how you can go up and down with 9.8 meters per square second, mimicking so-called weightlessness, right? I mean, that is real, that you can do, of course. Hubble/Kepler/Gaia, not me, maybe. Here on Earth, our home and only home ever, every year, new ground-based telescopes are built or planned at several locations on Earth with the most ideal atmospheric conditions for monitoring and photographing the celestial beauty. Astrophotography is basically putting various layers of photos over each other with different wavelengths of light, and you get the wow images we see shared everywhere. Those are not necessarily fake, but they are composites. Nobody denies that. What exactly distinguishes astro photos taken by ground-based observatories, I have visited one, I've shared photos, right, from the ones allegedly taken by quote-unquote space telescopes, on which some white rabbits allegedly worked. Stamping an astro photo from Tenerife, Hawaii, or the Atacama with Hubble, and voila, not? If manned space travel was impossible, the maintenance on the Hubble was impossible. But then the Hubble is still real. How does that work? What is left? Satellites. The hard nut. And yes, it may sound nuts, but no, sorry. No functioning man-made satellites exist. Other than balloons, but they are by definition not in space. They are below the Kármán line, right? No single electric apparatus functions without maintenance or at least access to it. Yet, in the magic Disney world of NASA, missions get multiple times extended without any problems. Mars rovers, anyone? And none of the images can represent reality. There are not even photographs of Earth, so how can it be real? Every object in space is either 100% at -270 degrees Celsius, 3 degrees Kelvin, or 50% at -270, and simultaneously 50% at +300 or way more in the thermosphere. Even if we forget that this object allegedly takes the sharpest photos, measures the most advanced things on Earth and atmosphere, and has to keep doing that while communicating the data flawlessly to Earth, the space thingy has to survive these conditions. We don't have any metal on Earth that can withstand these two extremes at the same time, all the time. But satellites are made of kryptonite, I guess. Geosatellites, so geostationary orbit satellites, allegedly, are claimed to function right in the outer belt of the Van Allen belts at between 32 and 36 km. How? Where are all the test reports about materials, technology, batteries, solar panels, and whatnot on board of these tiny objects, and how they perform under the wildest conditions? the scientific revolution would be bigger than Buzz Aldrin's drinking problem. What about the sub-Van Allen belts, where allegedly manned and unmanned space travel is booming? So, quote-unquote, low Earth orbit. How exactly did those space thingies circumvent the laws of physics? At least according to their own gravitational model. It's not too long anymore. The whole solar system, every single asteroid, ball of ice, dog-shaped planet, or ring rock of Saturn is in perfect gravitational equilibrium, with forces literally juggling with planets as if it were an enormous, harmonious 4D marble set. And then some Sputnik thinks it can just fly through it with some silly science story, thank you SMJ, about, quote-unquote, zero gravity, bringing things into orbit, jumping orbits, Lissajou orbits, Lagrangian points, and other magical talk that literally belongs in a Disney, quote-unquote, attraction park. There's nothing attractive about these places. Incredible. Indeed, it is not to be believed. Incroyable, right? So, what is real? The moving lights in the sky are undoubtedly real. The data from, quote-unquote, satellites is also real. Ground-based observations I consider as real, at least for the most part. Most astronomy is based on good principles, but on a particular model that may or may not be true. The heliocentric model might be right. I consider it the strongest. It may be Tychonian. I don't see geocentric as viable. I cannot say if charge or gravity makes more sense because we cannot go into space to test it. And this is my main point. The question is, what's this? Because these guys, they believe in a charge-based electric universe kind of thing. Mm-hmm. The question is, how can you have a different physical model of space than the people who say who went there? They went there, and they don't use your model, and you believe they went there. How can such a stance possibly logically work? Right? And then there is no discussion possible, and everybody who is in doubt, luckily nobody here, I reckon, can do the Orion test. Gaia can only be a convex sphere. This was my post.
Is it a sphere?
What do you think of my whole post, please, not just the sphere thing?
Oh, you know, for me, it is so difficult to come to conclusions with this, you know, with this logic.
Okay,
of,
that's why I try to help.
Natural science. I
try to help here, yeah.
I took some steps myself. For example, I went to some web pages which are promoting and also selling satellite imagery, and they have satellites, blah blah blah, and they go up there, and they have products. You know, they are selling it to.
It's a business.
The news. Yes, it's a big business, and
yeah,
I thought, how would it be?
Yeah.
How could it be possible that they do all this just with changing the parameters? So instead of being 100,000 meters high, they are only 30,000 meters high. Yeah, it's possible. I don't know.
Please listen to one of the fracks, I think it was Gareth, where I touched upon Google Earth. I can do it again, but not now, please. But what did you think of my post, please? Because I want to read what Jared Magnuson, and this guy is a respected guy there, right, has to say about it. But this whole post went first to moderation, and Josh, within 30 minutes, it was approved. So he's okay with this. There's nothing, I don't attack anyone personally, right? I mean, it's perfectly neutral, I would say, right?
I cannot have an opinion, Gary, about this stuff, really.
Okay, but
Gary,
your thought, please, Gary. I know Faye, it's not your thought.
Ferris, yeah. I'm not about natural science. Ferris, are you there?
Your echo is there.
Oh.
No, Gary's is echo.
Oh.
No, he's not there. Okay. Well, let me read then what Jared...
Yes, please read something.
Okay. He reacted, let me see, along after me. Not even 6 hours. This morning, well, the time is 10 1 a.m., but it's not even 10 a.m. here yet, but okay. Well, quote, shut the fuck up already. That's a good start, right? This is like, yeah, I mean, someone who's interested in discussing these topics, right? It's like, yeah. You are just beyond terrible at this stuff, and you don't even know what space is. Nobody knows what space is, because nobody can go there, Jared. On top of that, you don't know what Gaia means, or sphere. You literally know anything about this topic. From the foundations on up, you will not find or create any allies here. You see this so-called alpha ape on top of his rock, right? It's so childish. But okay, and I'm not just saying that by fiat alone. You lack any and every fundamental understanding of spatial and orbital dynamics. From the ground up, you don't even believe in your own eyeballs. Okay. You're a waste of time. Then why do you answer me? Okay. Babble on, but nobody here will take you seriously or give pause at all because you're a fucking shill and a complete waste of time. I happened to type very fast, so you didn't waste much of mine, but you're fucking shit and having the leg to stand on here or anywhere else, and I'll just hunt you down and bash you wherever you emerge from here on out. I am better than Langley at this. You're shit at this. Get a real job, loser.
Well, yeah, that's interesting, you know, that he uses...
Liked by Nada0101 again. And he also, or he, she says, also, bravo, well, great. And then Leaky Gut, great name. Leaky Gut said, he obviously wrote that rubbish for his target audience of imbeciles over at, quote-unquote, Truth Zone, and then just copied and pasted it in here. Waste of space, in my opinion. Well, actually, it was the other way around. I first typed it here, and then... while it was waiting for moderation, I also copied it to Truzone, but anyway, it doesn't matter. I mean, these guys literally spent hours and hours talking about space to everyone, if it's fake and what is fake and what not. And this is how they treat my stance, which is radical, yes, but radical based on argument, science, not scientism, science, right?
Yeah. I don't know, Gaia, I don't want to drive it into a psychoanalytic session, but you provoke me somehow, you provoke me. But I have to say, you have a talent for provoking such level of discussion. Sometimes you provoke it yourself.
Thank you.
You know, for example, the discussion about the Tychos. With Simon Schack, when I was following him, when he was on the side. Let me now say it.
Sorry.
I know you can put it away.
Please.
So I'm not afraid to hurt you because I know that you know that I'm not wanting to hurt you. I just speak freely, and you can organize your thoughts after that. But I think in this discussion about the Tychos with Simon Schack on the fakeologist.com website, you were actually provoking with your style or with your personality or whatever, so that the others say, "Oh, you are an asshole! You're a bullshitter! You don't know anything!" and blah blah. That's what I can say. You have a talent.
Program to bring you this important message.
So, hi, this is Adam Miller from independentoccupier.wordpress.com. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Yeah, that's what I can say about it. You have a talent for provoking bad reactions in others. I don't know why. I really don't know why. And it's not necessary, I think.
Why? It's not a why thing, I would say. How?
Yeah.
But, no, I mean...
Yes, how? Yeah, that's what I mean.
In the end, I mean, apart from our best chat ever last Friday, with Kiris, I never had these kind of things, because there's no need to. I'm not... But going there to hunt down people or so, like he is.
No, that's not very, very true. If you remember, when you rejoined...
I react strongly on bullshit, yes.
No, you know, it's a matter just... Can you live with it? Okay, live with it. I don't mind. We can fight, we can be friends again, no problem. But for you, I think you suffer, because you would like to be respected as an analyst. Huh? Because you would like to be respected with your thoughts.
I write Fakeopedia for myself. I don't care if people look at it. People don't look at it. People don't talk about it. We talked about it, but... Right? It's nothing. It's smaller than the smallest YouTube channel.
But it's interesting. I think it's one of the very interesting projects.
It is. And I think that is the important part. So this whole popularity contest, I don't care about, right? So if you don't take that
popularity,
this whole thing, for many people, is a popularity contest.
No, I don't think so. I think they have really... They are people that are paid.
I wait for you to speak.
Please let me speak. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
No, if you haven't gotten from all your time on the internet that there is a large portion... I'm not saying everyone or... not like that, but there is a large motive as a popularity contest. I mean, whole YouTube is based on this shit. Likes, dislikes, comments, subscribers, everything. And that is what Gary so rightly pointed out about the IPS and similar channels, and especially the ones going into Flat Earth. Because
May
Flat
I say
Earth
something?
Is... Just let me finish, then please. Flat Earth is a moneymaker. Even if it's all bullshit, but it's a moneymaker. So that's by definition... Something, even if you're like you, not interested in natural science, or people who completely don't understand it, and don't hold it against them, at least please try normal geometry, which is literally you don't need any studies for that. But the thing was, shit, I lost it.
Popularity and money.
Yeah, well, then it becomes, by definition, controlled by money, right? And then, that I'm not saying these people are controlled or someone else, but it makes it, by definition, you're in the hands of someone else, right? And you're not, I mean, I do this all for free, unfortunately. He's right, get a job, loser, he's right, completely. That's the only right thing about the whole post. But okay, and the thing is, these reactions are not based on interest into the subject. It is based on attack. I mean, it's just empty attacks, right?
But it is also, if I may say something else.
Please, talk
about the reaction of Jared Magnusson to your points was an overreaction. To me, who is not knowledgeable of the subject and who has no opinion about the subjects that you are talking about, it's just a reaction of 100 to a thing that would need maybe 5. It's an overreaction. So it tells me, as a narratologist, that he has the opinion already before stating
of course,
you are a bullshitter.
That is, most people do that, right, on the internet. And that is a very common factor, even more probably than the popularity context.
But you cannot change the internet, you can change only yourself. I think you should focus on why or how.
Listen to yourself. yourself. You can only change yourself. You should. So first, I completely agree with you. And then you should. I should do something. Well, sorry,
you don't like this style. That's the Greek style. In Greek, we say always. In Greek. People are more direct and more offensive. They do not say,
how are you thinking about...
The Germans are not. The Germans are hideous and Feiglinge.
They're blunt.
Feiglinge? How is Feiglinge in English? Cowards. They're cowards.
No, they're blunt. Right?
What means blunt?
Blunt. Speaking your tongue. It is...
Yeah, I mean, come on, I lived 3 years in Germany, and I know, let's not talk about this, come on.
Never mind, I think the problem is, how do you manage to come always in the position to be called the asshole? That's the point for you.
Thank you, I mean, yes, I do realize I have a talent in triggering people, yes, and I use that, yes. But what triggers people, it should trigger people, is the information, is the content, because it's all content, right? There's no funny creative language, other people call it swear words, and so evolved, right? I was very clear, very, yeah. There's not a single thing in my points that deserves an aggressive reaction, right? Only when someone is inconvenienced in his beliefs, because that's what's happening, of course.
May I say something now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I think that this fulfills all the parameters as far as I can, of course, overview it, because I have many points of similar experiences with you and with your thoughts and with your reactions. I mean, in the context of here, of talking with others, about you, with you, etc. I don't have a good picture of this.
Not
only the few things that I have from my experience here, but this fulfills, in my understanding, many parameters of being called a traumatic experience that you had, which you are recreating all the time in order.
There is no doubt. I had 9 of traumatic experiences being raised by a psychopath and a feminist. What do you expect?
I don't know that. I can say something, though. And it is that if we break down, and now we are analyzing just, you know, I would like you to know that I do not mean something bad about you talking about you. It's just theoretical for me. If we break this down, the repetitive experience that I see is always that you think that you do something good, and the reaction that you get is a bad reaction. So you are punished.
No. You don't understand me. You take it way too seriously. You think my words.
Serious?
Like I'm angry or I'm. I mean, this is words on the internet. You try to analyze people. You even have talked to me. So if I don't understand how you can come up with that. It's okay.
No, I'm analyzing only the...
But do you see what's happening now? We're talking about people, and not about the whole point. I know this is a bad example, because you're not interested in space topics. I know.
But it was your question, Gaia. Why
I know, reaction? I know.
So
I know,
a reaction is from a person, and a person has emotions. So you are asking for the emotional interpretation of this reaction. That's why I'm talking about it.
I would say also that that exchanging with people of the internet can also be a war of who is triggered first. So maybe you are just better at this game than the other guy.
Yeah, no, that's it. I mean, he, in another post, he attacked another guy who is a long time. I mean, this guy is, I wouldn't say Napoleon Wilson, right? It's nothing like it, but he is like one of the main guys on this blog, right? He is taken seriously. He talks with Mouth. Is there, right? This is so in like a hierarchical sense. If there is one there, I don't believe in it, but there he is high up. That's it, right?
Maybe
he. I don't care about these things. It's not important. It's about the points, right? It's not about me. It's not about him. That's why I would, I know, with you, it's a bad example on this topic, because you don't want to talk about space topics, but Garrus is now back, so maybe, I mean, Garrus, what were your, I mean, you knew my ideas, but what did you think of this summary?
The thing is that you made your point clear, and it was well and eloquent, and I think that's the problem. If they can find the faith in the way you express yourself or in the point you're advancing,
yeah,
end up with a character attack, and that is always the case. Mm. That is the way things are over the internet. There is nothing to be done about it.
Yeah,
it's something very
strange,
because younger individuals know almost nothing about communication between person except from the internet.
Yeah.
Which is totally different.
I mean, the thing is, he can only shoot himself in the foot because he already did in first post. Right? He addresses me with a she. Anybody, I mean, it's not that I'm a secret, right? Yes, I have a female username. Okay. But then you have to find out a bit more about someone. And if he even would have watched my own blog or whatever, I mean, just a little bit, you know, I'm not a female, right? But I use that, my name, of course, for that purpose. It plays a role, yeah. It's manipulation, right? Other people wear makeup. It's manipulation. Yeah. Let's be honest, right?
Depends.
Strategy.
No, I would say that it's all craftsmanship. You know, if you are capable of doing a good makeup.
No, it's craftsmanship. They're all trannies.
I mean, a bomb is also craftsmanship.
Yes, but
they're more a working one, not a fake nuke. Right? They're working. He cares.
Yes. I'm sorry, I'm crying because I'm cutting onions at the moment. But anyway, the point I was making is that...
is that the only thing that makes you cry? You don't... Burning Amazon rainforest.
Oh, no, not yet. But rain might come sooner than later. No, the point I was making is that if a woman is capable of making a good makeup for herself, it's a skill. I consider it a skill.
Of course, but it is manipulation, right? It is manipulation. It is trickery.
Yes.
It's not in it. It is. There's, right? I mean, what is not about it? And it's okay.
Yes, but would you rather have them totally
no,
neutral?
It's enhancement to be neutral.
No.
To be neutral, it's enhancement.
We do it all the time. We do it all the time. It's the same thing. I mean, it's in everything. Right? And acknowledge it. Be honest about it. It's fine. Nothing wrong with that.
Yes, it's a kind of a trick.
Natural.
Issue.
Natural.
Yes.
It's natural. The clown world is only, they have taken it a bit too far, this manipulation game, right? Ruling over other people is not natural, by definition. Right? Rule of
it
the
depends.
Wise. Rule of the
it
wise.
Depends on which
rule
species.
Which species? Yeah? Are there
some
a species of animals that sends their children to fight in some battle in some place they don't know, somewhere on Earth? Really? I've never seen that happening.
That literally, I would say not, but there is probably a tribe of monkeys that is sending their youth fighting another tribe
ants
of monkeys
are doing
somewhere.
That.
Are
the military society.
Yes, ants.
It's a hive mind society. Okay, yes.
Yes, and it's a military...
Wrong.
Okay,
military.
It's a hierarchical society.
Military is a human world term. It cannot...
Of
that
course,
describes
because
it's the
ideology.
Nature, right? I mean, the ants community is fact, is reality, right? How they behave. However, what we describe it, it is what it is, right? So
yeah, but Gaia, you know something? You are very jumpious with your thought and with your talking. You're talking about all the points up and down and everything.
Especially when I since...
You're changing the topic all the time. We were talking about Jared's reaction.
Especially since I rediscovered the good green stuff, Faith.
Cigarettes.
And I
now
drinking.
I get you.
I also stopped drinking, and it's good. Both good decisions, but I like some cheese once in a while, and especially when I'm chatting. It makes me think. Indeed, I jump very fast because my thoughts go even faster than normally. I gain 10 to 15 IQ points in my thinking, at least in my connections. You know, in fast.
After you stop drinking.
No, yeah, well, especially smoking weed. Because that is, I know that effect happened on me, so I did that before also with truth seeking. So that's just, we were talking about Jared, but it's not about Jared. It's about a phenomenon of reaction to content, right? I mean, same, nobody cares about Wikipedia or about the chat, Garrus's great chat or other great chats. People just comment about bullshit on the blog and so on, right?
But you know, you cannot separate stated arguments from the subjects that have stated those arguments. This is a false,
what?
A
sorry.
False,
are you okay?
This is a false, Just a minute. This is
better?
Yes, I explain it better. Jared had this reaction, and we talk about Jared's reaction. I insist on that because it is a false method to approach anything. It's a fallacy. We are talking about this concrete element of discussion and the reaction of
this.
This
the whole topic, right?
Is there
space travel possible, right?
I think, Gaia, that is a constant fallacy that you do, as far as
that
I know.
Sorry.
Yes.
What fallacy
that
did
you
I?
Separate. If you come in a discussion with someone, if you come to the point that you don't like the reaction, then you say, okay, but I was talking about the topic, you are talking about me. You know, it's a constant in your personality that you come to the point.
I try
to
talk about the topic. It is not my responsibility. Now listen, it's not my responsibility. Other people talk about me, and I have had talk to Garris and ask him. We have had great conversations because we respect each other's thoughts, and we're not talking about each other. It's not important.
It
I know about
negative.
Garris knows about me. Hey, can I please finish?
No. It's false.
It's negative
attention. You are seeking negative attention.
No, that is your interpretation of me. Do you
see
that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
I am. Yes. No, maybe your projection even. Because
okay,
I am not
maybe.
Seeking negative attention. Anything,
you're seeking attention.
I have a channel.
You're seeking,
which is,
actually, you're seeking good attention, but you're getting negative
attention. I'm trying to make points. If they gain attention, I'm happy. That's the way.
Okay. What do you do if they don't gain attention?
Oh,
you continue till you get attention.
I either repeat them, yes, because I think I have good points and worth considering. And now there's a reaction from another guy on this forum. Because I didn't read that yet.
Okay.
Let me go.
Read it loudly. Loud and clear.
No, I mean, it's a bit long.
I am not fucking German.
I am German, Swiss. I know you are, but you have...
I'm Greek.
You cannot deny...
I'm Greek.
So, you cannot deny that culturally you have been formed by German or Germanic culture. I am the first real witness to that. Thank you, Dave J.
I am a menage between three countries, three cultures.
I know you
three
are, but
German
you have a strong German influence, especially in your way of approaching and so on, and especially
okay.
in interruptions. I interrupt too, and I shouldn't do that. Please point me to it when I do. Garris, you are the host, man. Step in
there's
more.
Not enough time to point you to that guy. You're talking all
I know,
the time.
I know. Especially with...
Okay, now read. Read something.
Yeah, okay. So he reacted to me, Tony Martin, and about what I said. We don't have any metal on Earth that can withstand these two extremes at the same time, all the time. Because that's a thing, you know, right? You have any object made of a metal alloy, because it's not one metal, but okay, it doesn't matter. Cannot behave at such extremes, right? What happens? I mean, at high temperatures, metals get ductile, right? I mean, they deform. At low temperatures, however, and very low temperatures, -270 degrees Celsius, which is the alleged temperature of space, as is claimed by the mainstream themselves, then...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Once in a while, one of us wakes up. It's not supposed to happen, but it does.
Thank you, Joker. He's coming often, and he's good. The temperature, any material that gets very cold, logically, becomes solid, right?
I don't know.
Even hydrogen gets liquid at -259 degrees. So that's even 11 degrees warmer, so-called, than space. So in space, even hydrogen, the lightest element, is solid. Liquid, not solid. So what happens at these extremely low temperatures, and you can watch videos of that, metals get extremely brittle because there's no... bonding anymore between the whatever the atomic model is. It's just a model, but right, it crumbles away. That is what the cold does to metal. So at the same time, you have one object that is crumbling away on one side and heated by radiation of the sun on the other side, it cannot behave, right? There's nothing we have on Earth that can behave in such conditions. And if there were, there would be thousands and millions of publications and a complete scientific revolution that there are materials like that, right? That is how real engineering and science works. If it's everything we have, engineering is applied real science, right? That is how things got invented and stuff. So, it's complete lunacy. But so he reacts with a long post about the thermosphere and so on, information. I mean, I'm not going to read it. It's long. And it's a quote from somewhere else. But it's, right, I mean, there is at least traction or people who are, have the same doubts that I had, especially with satellites. It's nice to see people listen to that, or at least consider my point. The thing is, we need to establish what is real, what is physics, what is Gaia, what's the real world, what is reality, right? Not the clown world overprint over it. That is the key thing to truth figure. What is real, or what can we know is real? Right?
And it's not that much.
No, I don't know. But at least what it also does, it solves this uneasy feeling. Vegan Fuhrst have said it himself. Rachel has said it himself. I see more people still struggling with that. And that is what John Le Bon actually tried to fight with his bit John Le Bon style. But that's a very good point. Let me please talk about what John Le Bon said, not about.
I'm interested in John Le Bon.
Yeah, ask him then. Okay. I mean, you can talk to people, okay? You're now very. John Le Bon said, I mean, or questioned the idea, are the elites evil? Well, I think they are. But what he points out is this victimized feeling of conspiracy theories and so on. And still, I see that a lot here, still. And I'm surprised by it, because I'm not with you, Garris, and Faye, a little bit still, this paranoia as well. I think it's a waste of time. And Garris, I've seen you change so much in the last month, and you have changed me so much in the Thank you so much for that, man. It's really gold what we talked about and how we learn.
So again, Gaia?
Wheat, normal wheat. Well, not normal wheat. It's very good and very cheap, actually.
It's very good, I think. Yeah, it doesn't hurt you your thoughts, but it makes you very fast and almost incomprehensible. You are jumping.
You can listen back to the audio. That's great about
life. Yes, I have to because I can't follow you so fast. Okay, I didn't understand what John Le Bon makes with his what you think, a conspiratorial victimity or what?
Yeah, I mean, he points out, and that is right, and that's a criticism from the Nord Stream group of this seeking enemies, boogeyman, and so on.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they don't exist. It's just your approach to them, and the approach of many people still is fear and frustration. And I am much more quiet now. I look at it as a theater. Yeah, that's why I use Naked Jews or Voodoo people or reptilians or Satanists or however you want to call them. The people, the psychopaths who want to play a mental chess with us, right? I mean, who want to steer other people and control them. It's bullshit. So, yeah, I try to get people to leave the frustration and fear because it's not solving anything and look at it happily and cynically and mock them, Naked Jews, right? And there's no limit to free speech. There's no natural limit to free speech. If there were, then your tongue would start to twist as soon as you say a quote-unquote bad word, right? It's not
it will happen soon enough. When you get the chip, you will not be able to articulate such words.
Yeah, in the brave new world they dream about, yes.
Yeah, but that's the classical approach of anti-authoritarianism and anarchism, which always is in the negative position. It always says, what is not, but actually,
and that is
thinking,
what I steer the way.
Let me speak now and shut the fuck up.
Yes,
okay, now, I'm very Colombian now. So now, look, thinking is energy, thinking is construction, thinking is creativity, and you are creative, and you are producing, and you are thinking, that means, with what you have. So the question is not if it's free or not, so the question is, what really do you have that you can use for your creative approach to things? And if the mass media produce all your thoughts, then you can say, I am free to think, but you think with the elements that you were given. You do not think with your own elements. So this is
sorry.
Yes.
The exact opposite you're describing now.
You can read.
I am the one here who detached from fakeology. You know why? Because I realize it consumes you. It changes. It is poison, and it doesn't matter if you look at it and take it in as if it were true, or if you look at it and try to analyze the story and then the photos and all that shit, that is the same. It has the same dopamine and all kinds of other chemical effects in your mind and body and so on. And so my agenda is to stay away, detach completely from it. Put it, get it out of your system. Get it, detox from it. What you said, I must agree now with what you said.
Oh.
That
this, Let me agree.
No, not because I have no problem agreeing with you. Point. The negative of the term anarchism, yes, because it reacts on the state. And my idea of living together is there is no state, right? Not even there. So it's you cannot use a concept in your way of living you or your philosophy that doesn't exist in that philosophy. I try not to, of course. I mean, I try not to be stolen from, but I cannot. I mean, if they put me in a cage with child rapists and so, because that is what would happen, and I don't want to be in a cage in Colombia. I can tell you that. Then, yes, of course, I am obliged to save myself and survive and pay taxes. Yeah,
I have a question.
Churches and mosques, does that mean I'm religious?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to your previous statement, that staying detached from fecology means you avoid input of elements which could be used for your creative thoughts or free thinking, but if you stay away, you don't get these points, you know.
No, the thing is,
about controlling. Let me.
Okay.
It was not clear enough. It was not clear enough. So
please.
You know, freedom of thought to me means that I am able to discern and to judge about elements that I am given to create my own thoughts about something.
So what are you...
Fakeology is maybe a very confused and all the people here are maybe not on my line of thinking or whatever.
All the
but
people
it is an
here.
Input.
Sorry?
Maybe, I said.
Okay.
It was a general... Yeah. But for me, it is a welcome kind of thought from time to time, because it is different than other things, other elements that I get. And it enhances my ability to discern and to judge about information. That's all. So you stay away.
No, my point is, I mean, all these ridiculous news stories, these gossip Epstein bullshit, all these, it's literally watching a soap series for the 100th time.
Yes,
it is a complete waste of time.
It's no different than the Bible in previous centuries. It's just more stories More stories,
that
more
was,
narratives.
Wait a minute. It was a written book. It is not a situation. This is drug.
It was a mass medium. It was the mass medium, the only one, which approached the whole earth.
No, the troubadours, however you want to call them, the traveling, quote unquote, news agents, right? The people who.
Yeah.
That was the Randolph Hearst of the time, let's say.
The
who can narrative call that? I don't know that, but yes.
Yeah. And now there are many stories, and it's no different. It's all false, it's all mythology.
Okay, a question then.
Yeah.
Be honest. How much did you learn from your last baby hoax you looked into?
Last baby hoax for me was in Greece, on Crete, 2 months ago, where an English scientist, which was living in Dresden, Germany,
mm-hmm.
I can't remember the name now, Dr. something, was abducted after she was hit by a car in Chania, near Chania. She was participating in a high scientist of nuclear whatever. She was hit by a car, then she was abducted. She was abducted and raped and killed. She was a nuclear fucking scientist in Dresden in a very high profile Max Planck Institute. And I thought for sure that this was a hoax, and I looked into it. And I was trying to understand how do they make it to be believable in the local society. But I am not on Crete, and I have no knowledge of the local society very good, although I have been many times there. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, oh, it is possible, because there are some points which were very clear for me. She was participating in a congress of nuclear, genetical, modified, whatever. I just say some words now, very high-profile scientists, which was taking place in a monastery. You know, this is a closed
monastery.
Monastery on Crete.
It's a very controlled
environment. And if you look at the images of this woman, she looks just like a created model. Yeah, not a real person to me. There were only very few photographs. Then there was another one, similar narrative. Also scientist, astrophysics scientist, which was lost in Icaria. This is real now. This was really in the news. You can Google it. The one was in Chania, Crete, 2 months ago, and the other one was on Icaria.
Was hiking?
No, she was not hiking. She was there with her friend. She left for jogging, and then she was found dead in the mountain, in some cliffs. But there, the possibility for me was also given that he killed her and dragged her there. So, but they just said
I mean, let's be honest. The interior of Crete. I haven't been there, but I know Greece quite well. Unfortunately, Crete not. But it is not a forgiving environment, especially not in summer. I have worked in 43 degrees with. Literally, this was so extreme because they were dark. Yet reflective rocks. They were
in northern Greece, northwest.
No, in Argolis.
Where is that? Argolida.
Yes. Yeah. In the vicinity of Mykenai.
Mm-hmm. I know it. Yeah.
Yeah, so there, it was extreme. Imagine you have normally reflective, then it's whitish, right? I mean, or gray, but this was dark.
Yeah, but
it's a dark rock.
What do you mean about
the sun? But the environment is very harsh. If you don't have enough water, if you trip over a rock, you can kill yourself easily. So that would be the most logical outcome. Of course, it can be staged too, but it's quite hard to drag a body to a natural thing in somewhere with rocks, and so it's even harder.
No. He didn't drag her. Maybe he just threw her down because he really fell down.
You know, they were there together. You know that. But
the one in Icaria was maybe
killed the astrophysicist? What is this?
No. The nuclear genetically, I don't remember exactly what was her profession in Dresden.
Max Planck. That is,
she was on Crete. She was in Cania. She
but
was...
Max Planck. The thing...
Max Planck is Nazi. Is Nazi stuff. You remember?
The thing I want to say, Faye, and you will agree with that because we talked about this in detail language, and we have a glossary still, and it's even expanded a little bit, it's very important to use the right words. And so the term nuclear scientist, how can that ever be a combination?
I'm saying what the media was writing.
I think maybe she was genetic something. Okay,
I repeat the story so that you get not confused. And the listeners get not confused. There was a Max Planck.
Can I talk?
I was just explaining the story again.
That's exactly my message. Don't do that. Detach from it.
Right.
It's important. It's some people you don't know, some so-called scientists somewhere on Crete. Why fucking bother about it? Let's talk about the implication it has about why would we call a nuclear scientist a nuclear scientist? Things like that. Let's talk about something important, not about these two. This story is not important. Get it out of your system.
Look, Gaia, if I may talk.
Yes, please.
It is not important what kind of scientist she was. It is important, though, to understand why, for me, that's my interest in discussing about faked events and staged events and hoaxes and psyops, etc. Why do they do such a thing in the midst of summer on Crete by creating negative attention to the island and in midst of the high tourist season, where they also, and I have followed it and I know it for sure, they create impossible intensity in the eastern Aegean, in the Mediterranean Sea, because they are trying to create negative or positive aspects in the tourist season. It's about the fight of touristic attraction between Turkey and Crete and Greece.
Yes.
That's my interest, you know. I'm not interested in which institute
okay, but,
she was.
But then
maybe
why do you want to read the story again? Why won't you spend time on reading a story?
I didn't want to read the story. I just wanted to repeat the two different stories because you confused them in order to.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. You see.
There was one story.
Yeah, I don't care. Please talk about your views on it. That's what's interesting, right? That is what it's about. That's why we chat.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Also support the farm, guys. Also.
Yes, and send... $50,000 so we can organize a Fakeologist meetup in Bermuda.
No, here.
Bermuda?
Why would you want to... I mean, Gary, why would you want to go to fucking Bermuda, man?
Because of the symbol. Bermuda Triangle.
Well, okay, well, then... let's go to the Bay of Pigs, then, please. nice diving. Yeah, I did my two diving courses there.
Okay, guys. I was glad to meet you again.
Where are you living?
I think I'm going to leave now because I have a headache already.
Okay.
And then I have to take permission to talk when I'm talking
to you. No, not at all. Please don't. Please share your views.
Okay. It's okay.
Please share your views on Greek. That's what is interesting. That is what people want to hear. People want to hear these stories, they can go to a news site, right? They want to hear your views. I mean, you speak Greek, you know the island, right? You know the maybe about the tourist industry. And
it's only my suspicion. I'm not really sure it's a hoax. I'm sure. But I cannot prove it, so it doesn't matter for anyone.
But you don't have any examples of that thing, I mean, like another data point for your thesis, right? In history, because they exist, I'm sure. Because I know a little bit about the tourist industry in the Mediterranean. Not about Crete, sorry. You know?
I didn't understand your question, Gaia. Repeat, please.
I mean, what is your own... I mean, your added value on top of your thoughts is that you speak the language, right? And know yes. culture. It's one of the, you're the only one here, by far, right?
Look, I would like to talk about something because I haven't talked about it yet. If you still asking about Greece, in Greece, I am only suspicious about that, and I of course cannot prove it. But I'm going to research it because there is photographic material, and it was a time where the people that were talking about hoaxes etc. were not there. This all started after 9/11 to deconstruct hoaxes and the media lies, etc. So this was in the 1979. I have to look it up. It was one.
Is it on Wikipedia?
No, it's not yet. On Wikipedia, I have put my suspicions about the German terrorist organization Red Army Faction. Because I think this was all faked, I think. I cannot prove it, but I think nobody died, nobody got hurt.
It's an offshoot of Gladio, right? It is.
Yes, of course.
I mean,
Gladio is only the story about it. Gladio is the intelligent story.
Of course. I mean, it is... spies, I mean, whatever they are, I mean, people traveling around and doing stuff, right?
Agents,
spooks, agents, whatever, infighting and staging each other's deaths, right?
Yes.
That's probably what it is, knowing from other examples in history. And
exactly. And they had also, the same period, they had a terrorist organization in Greece, which was called 17th of November.
Yes, oh yeah.
You can look them up. They have also killed, allegedly, I don't remember now numbers, maybe 20.
But these groups are real.
The groups are real. There are also people maybe that believe that they are in this group, but they are only intelligence operators.
Mm-hmm.
And there is one concrete person called Bakoyannis. You can look it up.
Okay.
Bakoyannis. His wife is still a very important political person in Greece. She was elected newly in the elections of 9th of July this year. She is the leader of the liberal left party Kinal. She is called Bakoyanni Dora, Dora Bakoyanni, and she was the wife of this allegedly political murdered person in 79, I think, 1979 or something about that. In the 70s.
Was it in January?
I don't remember. You have to look it up yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's easy. You come with some...
Yeah, and I believe that this was faked. This person did not exist. He was working in Munich, allegedly, for the Deutsche Welle. Yeah.
You go from... This was fake. This person didn't exist. Sorry, can you?
Yes,
please?
Possibly. Yes.
But what is this? This person didn't exist. What do you mean by that? Because this is a big thing to say about something, right?
I mean, I will tell you what I found out now, without dates and names, because I'm bad with dated names. During the junta and allegedly just after the junta, this guy was a journalist, a very famous allegedly Greek journalist who was working in Munich, Germany, for the Deutsche Welle. He has a direct connection with German intelligence. And this means United States intelligence, and this means Russian intelligence. That's always
Klaus
together.
Barbie, right? Klaus Barbie.
I don't remember
Scorsese,
the Barbie story. And he was allegedly married to this woman, and they have two children. And after he was killed, she was alone for some years. But later, she married another guy who has also almost no previous history, which is verifiable. And he looks a little bit like this old guy, only he is not He's a little bit bigger, but the pictures of the old guy are not convincing that they are real. They look like it could be the father of the second husband.
If you can do one thing, make this case. Make a topic on the forum or wherever. Do this. This is exactly what needs to be put up.
I don't know. But maybe
if you promise to not delete my stuff. I mean, you agree with it, but you're not going to delete my stuff, and app is behind that. So,
I am not able to delete anything
back,
anymore.
And I could retrieve some of my material, luckily, but you have done a lot of damage to my work.
I did not delete anything.
And no, you, what?
I did you not just, delete permanently
you,
anything.
Listen back to this chat, and you can go back. And that you deleted.
Okay, but they are not lost. They are in the Fakeopedia.
They are
only
lost. They are lost. There is no administrator on Fakeopedia.
So you have to become an administrator to retrieve them.
You,
but they are not
you
lost.
You are deleting my stuff, and you request me to do something. Do you hear what you're saying here?
I am not on the Fakeopedia anymore.
No, that is a cheap excuse. It's about your attitude. And I don't want you around. Start deleting my stuff. That's an app doesn't want to
Okay, so I'm not joining the Wikipedia. Don't be afraid about that. But I'm just saying to you...
But why do
you
want to delete my material? Why?
I explained that.
No, you didn't.
Two hours ago,
You have explained so much of my work, you are obliged to explain this.
Okay, I explain it again. I deleted the Nazionism stuff because I think that this is not founded historical research. It is only a compilation of allegations.
All this research you're wiping away, this is just bullshit. Or not fake psychology, as you call it. Yeah, your opinion, and it doesn't mean any shit. I am not deleting flat earth stuff because I don't agree with it. You don't delete stuff you don't agree with. Are you insane? Are you a fascist?
I'm not a fascist, no.
You are. You're a behavior.
No, I'm not.
You can say whatever the fuck you want, but if you delete someone else's free thoughts and research, it's all backed up by references. You can all check it out. You didn't do that. You just deleted this shit. Okay. Not shit. It's research.
Okay.
But what do you have to say about that?
I think I did it right in that moment. That was my thought. I actually regretted it afterwards, and I explained it also as good as I could. And now, actually, I hope it is there and you can retrieve it. That's what I can say about it.
Are you about to delete things you disagree with? And not only disagree with, you literally went after my... Because you deleted the list of satellites and exoplanets, which has nothing to do with so-called anti-Semitism, which is your propaganda, your indoctrination.
Not
Ab is completely okay
true.
With this.
Ab decided.
Ab wants to take it down. Right to do that.
I did not delete anything about exoplanets.
You did?
No.
Why do you deny reality? Do you know how stupid that is?
Reality.
I can show it to you how stupid must you be to deny reality.
Which exoplanets? What are you talking about?
I can show to you that you removed that stuff from Fakeopedia. No, it's not deleted because in the history I can find it back. But it's
of
not
course,
their own
and
story.
I know that
so let me finish.
Is there?
Let me finish. Let me
there.
Finish. You deleted my stuff.
I have the right.
I can move you if you want. So, let me
finish. Yeah, okay, you can move me, but we are discussing and you want to know why I deleted the exoplanet.
You wait for me. You removed the exoplanet material from Fakeopedia. In the history, it is there. Let me explain. Shut up. Or I will
mute you. You're very aggressive.
No, I'm
you're
not
very aggressive.
Aggressive means that I started.
You say I deleted exoplanets, and I'm saying to you, I have no idea what exoplanets are. So what are you talking about?
That is the thing. You don't even know what you have done, and I can prove it to you, deny it. Do you know how stupid that is? In any situation, not about Fakeopedia or anything. Do you know,
it would be stupid if it is that, as you say.
In the cookie jar, and you deny it.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know how stupid that is?
Okay, what is exoplanets?
Age. I respect age.
What means exoplanets?
Yeah, I mean,
is it part of the Tychos?
Is this trolling, or what are you doing?
No, I'm trying to understand you. Is it part of the Tychos? The Tychos has no place in the Fakeopedia.
I am not going to discuss.
In my opinion,
again,
and that's why I
can prove it to you with screenshots with everything.
If you want the answer, you have to wait.
That's the beauty of Fakeopedia. You can ask that as well.
You have to listen to the answer if you want to hear the answer. You know? If it was part of the Tychos, I maybe deleted it. I maybe deleted the links because I thought, and I still think, that the Tychos is not part of the Fakeopedia. The Tychos is a theory.
Okay, you admit your... Yeah. Okay, fine, great.
I admit what I can admit. I don't remember everything.
You stay far away from that. Okay. F is listening in, he knows that as well.
I'm not interested in Fakeopedia. You asked me to put the Greek stuff there. I said, okay,
no,
I might.
No, you said. I said on the phone, right?
Yes, yes. And right. I say now, I am not interested in the Fakeopedia because it doesn't have any concept. And you do not want to talk about any concept of the Fakeopedia. You just want to put your stuff there. So do it. Take it. Make what you want. It's still yours. From the beginning, it was yours. I didn't want
but
it from
you. It's not about me. It's not about my stuff. Go back.
Why is the Tychos and Fakeopedia, Daya?
Exactly.
I'm not talking.
Exactly. This is a piece of research of someone who is highly regarded in the Fakeology community, and especially by the owner, app, for September Clues, the right reasons, and his work there, and his job on Clues Forum in the past, not now, and that deserves all kinds of attention, I would say, and I am the only one still until today who has reviewed word for word his work. Yeah? So, you are not the one to decide if that belongs on Fakeopedia. If there is anyone that is Ed and not you, do you understand your position in life?
Okay. Look, the things are like that. When I deleted that, I was the only one on the Fakeopedia, actually, so I could do what I want.
So you're
and I'm just saying that.
Yeah, you admit
if
it.
If I have this opinion, I just I do things according to my opinion, of course. I am not there anymore. You can put there also journalism. I don't care. I don't like journalism and this stuff, but I don't care.
It's great you admit you're an freaky fascist. It's great.
I am not. I am not a liar, Gaia. I'm not a liar, and I am not a fascist.
I didn't delete your stuff. And literally, 2 minutes later, you say you deleted my Tychos stuff.
Because
you're a psychopath.
Because I believe the Tychos has no place on the Wikipedia.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
why I am a fascist.
Why would
that's
you
really
say
stupid.
That?
Stupid. No, Gaia, you're trying.
How stupid that is. Do you understand
you're childish,
you are?
Gaia. You're childish, really.
I'm childish.
Yes, you're very childish. So
I
you
will,
think you're in Greek we say you are taking the arguments by the hair, you know? I don't like the Tychos on the Wikipedia.
So it doesn't belong there. I don't like Jews. Let's exterminate him. That's the same thing. That's not what they did, but. They did exterminate.
And
they,
that's fascism to you? And you are trying to exterminate me now. Are you a fascist
enforcing
now?
Enforcing
oh, no,
your
Gaia,
own
that's
office.
Really stupid. No.
While the
no.
owner...
You're only polarizing.
Yeah, let me finish. The owner,
yes,
you didn't even
please.
Consult F. Hey, F, the Tychos is on your Fakeopedia. I don't want it there.
Is not interested in the Fakeopedia, Gaia.
That is not an excuse for you.
I don't need an excuse. I don't need an excuse. I have a responsibility.
You see why you're
no.
admit it.
No.
Perfect.
You're a bullshitter, Gaia.
You admit it.
You are a drug addict bullshitter. That's all. that you are calling people fascists and this and that because you do not have... You are a drug-addicted bullshitter. That's what you are. Because you call all the people fascists whose arguments you don't like.
Never called and Garrett a fascist. I wouldn't.
You are a bullshitter, Gaia.
I am a bullshitter. Am I a bullshitter, Garrett?
I had the responsibility of the Fakeopedia, and I was working many, many hours on the Fakeopedia.
And me?
And you put stuff there.
How many hours of work did you...
Oh, you can retrieve it in the Wikipedia. I have many,
no,
many files.
You cannot. I cannot.
Why can you not?
This is fact. Yeah, you cannot discuss this. I mean, this is bullshit. That is your strategy all the time.
Gaia, I know your attitudes now. I know what you're doing. I know what you are doing here. I know what you are doing here.
Please do me a favor. Ask what people really thought of your Fakeologist 55. Do that, please. On the fake, you're now at the...
I don't care.
Ask them what they thought of it.
I don't care. I am not here because of you, or because of App, or because of Rolo, or because of JLB. I am here because I am curious about things, and I'm talking about things. That's
and
all.
And you're here to destroy other people's...
Ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yes.
That's revelation of the method, Gaia. Ah, ha, ha, ha.
Deleting someone else's curiosity...
I know what you're doing.
Insane.
Here.
This is insane.
Yeah, yeah.
You're a fascist. I mean, you admit...
Revelation of the method. I don't care if you think I'm a fascist. I know that I'm not. I don't care.
It's not fair.
So, what do you want to talk about?
You admit it yourself. That's the beauty of it.
I never hid anything that I did. The Fakeopedia is transparent.
If you never know me in a parallel universe, and you would go on another Fakeopedia in another parallel universe, would do the same thing. Someone
I'm
else would call you a fascist. Yeah, yeah. It's not about me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about
yeah,
your
yeah.
behavior.
No.
You admit it. It's great.
No, it's not about behavior. It's about because that's your own baby. The Nazionism is your baby, but it's not your baby. It's the baby of others on Truth Zone, and you have stolen it from there.
No,
and
what?
I have read all what? The discussion. I have read all the discussion on Truth Zone.
What?
I have followed all your material.
Here, insanity, what?
It was not me who accused you on Truth Zone that you stole it.
What stole
it? We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Matty from Dusseldorf, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Please come, Stans. Matty, shut up, you. Matty, please come back, man. I mean, some score again, please, man. Listen to what the specialist has to say.
In Dusseldorf.
Yeah,
he's from here.
Yeah, I know. He's living there a long time. Completely integrated and
why did he
Matty needs to come back to do you see what you do? I mean, it doesn't depend on me. It depends on yourself, your own behavior. You admit that you delete stuff you disagree with. That is the archetype
that's
of
fascism. Responsibility.
No, that's not your responsibility.
It is.
Not your responsibility. What fucking responsibility? The only responsibility you have is to ask Ab. Ab is the owner of the whole thing. Ab is the owner of the whole thing. Ab.
But because you shout, that doesn't mean you're right.
Ab. Is this okay? Shut up. I will move you.
No. If you tell me shut up, who is the fascist?
Let me speak. The only person whose responsibility Fakeopedia is Ab. It's Ab says I want it off my Fakeopedia, then I can only oblige to that. His thing, it's his rule. I'm only a guest. And I've always said that. But that is, you are not Ab, you are there. And
no, I'm not Ab, of course I'm not Ab.
Yeah, you did, that's the thing. It's all out there. Yeah. There's no stupid to deny it, Faye. Everybody knows this. I mean,
Cool down. I am clearly saying that I deleted Nazism because of these and these reasons. And I am clearly saying I am not...
many
Shut
other
the fuck up and listen if you want the answer. You don't listen to the answer. You only want to project your own fascism onto others. That's all. I say what I did, and I say why I did it.
Exoplanets. Exoplanets. Exoplanets.
I don't believe that the Tychos is fakeology. The Tychos is a cosmology.
The exoplanets went nowhere to do with the Tychos. The Tychos was a completely separate page of space paper.
This is how
it was a list of satellites. List of satellites on the space factory page. Bang, gone.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay. So now, what would you wish? Would you wish me to leave again? Would you wish me to leave again? Is that what you
want? Why would you do that? There is no excuse of Zionism, cycles, not of my liking. It's exoplanet and satellite. Why would you delete that? You went after my stuff. There's no point in denying
because
it.
Because you are so important scientists, that's why.
This is all out there. There
is that what
no,
you want to hear?
There is
so
no
why do you... Why do you then accuse Jared to become emotional against you if you are provoking all the time the emotions?
I stay on topic. I stay all the time.
No, you are not on topic.
I'll give you an example.
You call the others fascists and Nazis?
No,
I did a session on audio chat. Now please listen. I did a session analyzing a text of an important German philosopher, which I had read, which you did not have read because she was a...
Hannah Arendt.
And you said, because of that I am a Nazi? Because I read Hannah Arendt? What are you talking about?
I didn't say that. Stupid.
It is still on the fakeologist.com website.
You're
you called me Jew, you called me everything. You called me everything. You called me everything.
If you called me, let me speak, then I will do it this way. I let you speak, and then I can speak. What I did is I questioned your truth-seeking skills. Hannah Arendt, this woman was the one... publishing and propagandizing.
You called me out all the time. I am repeating, you called me.
No,
till now.
I have
till
the right to speak. Bye.
A fascist, a Jew, a Zionist, and whatever else you think. And then you say, you are not provoking the others. Actually, I believe that you are a provocateur. You are a provocateur and you are not about the topics.
You are
not talking about Hannah Arendt. You are not talking about...
I am talking about Hannah Arendt before you trolling here.
Shut up.
I will move you
I'm
again.
Sorry.
You don't shut up. Okay. Well, I can do this forever. So, you shut up now?
Yeah. You did it with
Hannah
others
Arendt,
also and you are provoking all the time.
What the fuck?
You did... okay,
yeah, okay, there you go. Hannah Arendt was the... biggest propagandist of the biggest show trial for the Holocaust story in history. Anderson Pooper, Neil deGrasse Tyson together, it's the biggest propagandist of this whole bullshit. She was the one who reported the so-called trial of Adolf Eichmann in Israel. And that trial was elementary in cementing the Holocaust story in the minds of the people, because until that moment, the Holocaust story was not big. It was not publicized that much. It was only because of that show trial of the Jew Adolf Eichmann living and in Argentina working with the biggest Nazionist of all, Juan Perón. He was so-called kidnapped by the Mossad and taken to Israel, and it was a complete show trial. I mean, he admitted things that couldn't even be possibly true, and all. It was all... show trial, just propaganda narrative for the Holocaust. And this so-called philosopher, this hornelet, literally the scum of the earth, you are taking seriously without any questioning it, and you call yourself a truth seeker?
I guess I may now say something about Hannah Arendt and your thoughts about it and my thoughts about it. So, in that time I was researching the creation and elaboration of the concept of the big, big psyop of the latest 200 years, which was the Jewism-Antisemitism psyop, as I called it, And this was created actually in the late 19th century. Josh G. has done some great work about this with his analysis of the show trial of the late 19th century about this French military guy. I don't remember the name now.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hannah Arendt.
The affair.
I'm not talking, Gaia.
Dreyfus. Thanks, Gary. Dreyfus.
And I was researching what the participation of Hannah Arendt was in creating this, or elaborating, or evolving this PSYOP, and if she was part of the controlled opposition knowingly, or if she was just used as controlled opposition. Yeah, that was my status of knowing in that time.
She's the biggest Zionist. Or she's the biggest Zionist of the early 60s. You know what you're talking about. I mean, you're right. Exactly what Josh describes, the late 19th century, is definitely a time where Zionism and Nazism...
Yeah, but just a minute.
Don't change the topic.
I am talking now. I was not finished. You interrupted me.
No,
I was talking about my work about Hannah Arendt, and I did not finish. And you interrupted me, and you want now to talk about something else. I am talking now about my work about Hannah Arendt. And you have to listen now because you asked me. Okay?
More about Hannah Arendt, and more about this whore.
Stop now, Gaia. Stop this provocation.
More whore.
Stop this provocation.
Give me more. Give me more of this.
No, Gaia, you're really a bullshitter. Bye.
Just help, okay? Yeah. Too much talking. Gerius, please, talk.
I don't get much to say. You seem to have a lot of personal issues between the two of you. I can say that I understand the whole problem and everything. About the Fakopedia thing, I will figure that it is something that will have been possibly settled with just a bit of talk and negotiation skills, but it seems to have grown up into an issue that is way beyond my job requirement, I will say. Mm-hmm. Difficult, but it seemed that she left altogether. So
I don't know. Keep you talking.
So anyway, I don't really know what to make of the last hour or so conversation. It was difficult to get a point across, really. So, but maybe it was needed. It was important for the two of you that you had this conversation. That is probably the fact.
So I mean, if you were a moderator or an administrator on Wikipedia, and there would be titles or another subject you disagree with, would you delete it?
Honestly, I probably would. My first take will be to delete it and then address the issue to the person, with the possibility of putting it out online quickly if needed.
Ask at first, right? I know, yes, this is the only way. I mean, App is the one who decides. It's his work. It's his site.
Yes, but we know that... I can understand the point of view saying, okay, I delete it, and then I see after what's possible to discuss, to amend, or whatever.
If you first ban someone and then delete his stuff, completely legit, nothing... even if you would believe that Nazianism is not right, I mean, it's all out there, okay? Then, it's in exoplanet satellites, there are just two examples. I have many more, but I'm too bored to look them up right now, right? I mean, come on. It's all out there. It's stupid to deny things that are facts, right? This is...
Yes, but it's anyone's prerogative. I would have taken the approach of an explanatory text, firstly, before an article, if I think that it was contentious or whatever. That tool has been probably the sensible method to approach
this. This woman, she accuses me of that I have stolen Nazianism forum where I first posted my own thoughts. I mean, she's accusing me, but she doesn't know anything about the forum. She doesn't know anything. Just accusing. And that's the paranoia I was talking about, right? This hostile attitude. I mean, I get hostile to people who are hostile, right? I mean, that is perfectly, that's a very man-like behavior, and we shouldn't, I mean, this whole bullshit of we should control our emotions. That is, it's all this clown world overprinting, trying to control us, not letting us be ourselves, right? It's insane, really. That's what school does to people.
Yes, but clearly she left, so there is not much to be said about that since she left.
But it's the attitude. I mean, she admits she would do it again. It is that's great. She's honest at least in that. But I don't care about Patagonia. Where is this country? I mean, it is fine not to care about something. But also, she doesn't care about the titles, but you don't delete it. I mean, this is Simon Schick's work. I just shared it, and I explained things. I had a whole list, and it's still there, of you producing Echo Gears, but the earlier celestial models in history, with the Persians and the Egyptians, and there's a whole list there. And it's not the case that it is Copernicus and Kepler and Galilei, and then we had Tycho Brahe, and that's it. No, that's not how it works. It's a very complex list, and it was all documented there. It's all copied from mainstream sources, of course, only to Wikipedia short things. But yeah, it's interesting to see that the history of celestial models was way more complex than the bullshit we get on school, right? It's a church, the earth was flat, even true according to most sources that people didn't think the earth was flat. But okay, right? Then, why is there any ground to delete such a thing? Right? I don't understand such a thing.
Yes, I think that it will make sense for her at the time. I cannot speak for her, of course. Like I said, the sensible way to approach it would have probably been to get an explanatory message or whatever. Or even say blandly that you yourself, this individual, does not agree with what is on this thing or whatever, even though you are the moderator or administrator of such
thing. Yeah, this is the thing. We were peers. We were equals. She didn't have the right to do this, right? Even from the hierarchical point of view thing. I mean, I only changed a couple of categories on our 9/11 stuff because I know how categorization works, and it's very important to do that right. Otherwise, you end up, like now, with a lot of spare categories, renamed, blah, bullshit, okay? So I try to help her in that sense. I'm not going back to the whole story. But the thing is, I haven't deleted any of her stuff at all. I mean, she talked about 9/11 a lot and about other things, so I left it all there. I mean, it's her work. I was very, you know me, right? I mean, I'm like that. And I said, yeah, put it on Wikipedia and so on. So I didn't do that. I made one funny comment about AFJ, but yeah, come on. It's give and take in this world, I would say, right? So, that was it. But then she banned me. She had no authority from an app or so to do that. And App didn't approve of it. He didn't care. He should, but okay. And then started deleting my stuff. I mean, on a rampage, right? It's not like, oh, I deleted one or two things. No, it was a complete hunt. And there's still many things that are deleted and forgotten. And right, so, but how can you delete hours and hours and hours of even if you don't agree with it? And especially when you first talk about apps' neutral attitudes, which is a strength in keeping it together, and I think that is the case, right? Then afterwards, then suddenly there is fascism. Kind of ideas are allowed on this platform. Sorry, but who was the one who had the initiative exactly? I think it was me. There wouldn't be any Wikipedia if it weren't for App, of course, but if it weren't for me. So, I mean,
yes.
Let's talk about something more interesting, please. Yes. More interesting, please.
But really, it's so strange. I don't fucking feel like it's Sunday. I really feel like it's a weekday. I don't know why. I know in the core of my being that it's Sunday, but every time I look out the window, I get to say to myself that it's Sunday.
Yeah, well, here it's easy because there's usually cyclists, people running, so it's always on Sundays. But yeah, I know what you mean. It's strange. But what else?
Sunday, there is absolutely no activity, no nothing. I don't know. Not much is going on.
Thank you. What's the football?
Not the that Formula much. One. Say, football club. Okay. I can call it that. We'll stay in the middle of the pack all season, so it's life. It's like a question of wealth. But Switzerland is really strange because it's almost. I will say that Germany is almost the same because Berlin doesn't have a really, really strong team. And it's also the case in Switzerland that the biggest city, which is not the capital, but it's the biggest and more important city.
Zurich?
Yes, doesn't have a team that is really performing at a high level at the moment.
Oh, true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, people don't really care about sport or anything, and it's not something that will give you a lot of visibility if you start to throw money in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really different from other parts of the world. There is no social credit to be taken from being a beneficiary to give money to football or whatever.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's really a Swiss mentality. It's not they only invest in things that are rational, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, you have
Sports and arts or,
you have Sepp Blatter, you have Infantino, and it is pretty strange, right?
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Dreams, they feel real while we're in them, right? It's only when we wake up that we realize something is actually strange.
Yes, I think that the influence of the powerful people in the FIFA or the UEFA in Switzerland is most felt in the amateur football. Amateur football is really, really well equipped. The pitch are wonderful. They are great.
So there is some trickle-down effect.
Yes. If you see, for example, the siege of the UEFA is in Nyon, Switzerland. The football pitch in Nyon, Switzerland are just incredible for the quality of the team.
Good, yeah. But how can it be that two presidents of the FIFA in a row are Swiss? Switzerland is not the inventor of football, not the biggest country on football and anything. Not a particularly great history like Hungary would have or so, right? Or Sweden, something like that. So, I mean, that is, by definition, odd, right?
Yes, but it's if you see football as a sport, if you see football as a monetary institution, that makes totally more sense, if you know what I mean.
Yes, right.
Because in the end, it's not to manage football as it is or to change the rule or whatever. It's to manage the cash flow that goes on from country to country, institution to institution. And especially, I think that if you are on the top of the UEFA or the FIFA, you are at the head of a racket for the attribution of the World Cup and the European Championship. So just with that, you are there to reap the benefits for your mafia organization.
Yes. And the good thing about this point is it speaks to other people. People can very much open up to this and realize that this is actually a blueprint for all world politics and history, that there is no, how do you say that, like a connection from the heart with the topic. And that like the management of hospitals and schools, there's no relation between these people and the actual job, right? It's a common phenomenon. And that is actually what drives the deep state, let's say, right? The whole conspiracy thing. So people who say, yeah, I don't believe in conspiracies, and yeah, no, there's no state behind it all, the whole facade, right? They believe the facade, they don't believe there is something behind it. That they will, the FIFA however controlled these stories may be and put out there for us, still it shows this same behavior, which you could apply as a blueprint to so many things, right? But it did something that people recognize and feel in their hearts, because they like football. They don't care about politics and history and so, but they care about football, right?
Yes, and I think that it's sport is a good way to show also the double speak, or the, it's like in 1984, we are always at war with Oceania, and we are never at war with Oceania. It's the same thing, because you get the World Cup that will happen in Russia, the next one, I think, and you probably will see that the anti-Russian narrative in the media will stop altogether for a month or two, and people will think nothing of it. Suddenly it will be all love and the warmth of the Russian welcome and everything.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Qatar is coming up.
In January, I thought it was December.
December,
January, I think it's over the 2 months.
Oh, even over Christmas and New Year, really? Wow.
I don't know, I'm not sure, but it's fucked up to put the world, the soccer, the football.
Yeah.
When we speak football, when I am with Gaia and we speak football, we speak football. Soccer doesn't exist for us.
Yeah,
so for the football World Cup to be in January and in Qatar, it's so stupid. What I am really waiting to see is what type of team the Qatar will put on the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it is a way for these countries to grow in football. And now Qatar, they won the Asia Cup, right? And they were invited here for the Copa America last June. They didn't do well, luckily, but
Yes, but it's so just fake. To show you that they are playing on the...
Fake. It is literally... I mean, they're proud of their fakery, and that's it, right? So ugly.
Yes, but it was always the case. There were World Cup in Argentina during the dictatorship.
But Argentina, hey, come on. We talk about football, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing.
But you cannot dissociate what is happening in a country from the things that are from the sport itself, you know?
No, I mean, it cost us the World Cup for sure, right? I mean, if without Cruyff we reached the finals, then with Cruyff we, the Netherlands, right, would have won it. I mean, there's no doubt. It was so close, right? I mean, Cruyff. Yeah, he was threatened by the Argentinians, and so he stayed back in Barcelona while the Dutch team was playing the final and then the whole tournament in Argentina. I mean, it's real, right? It's real. Yeah.
Yes, and yeah. Until recently, and that is probably the case, but we don't really have any information about it, the installation for the Olympic Games, for example, was totally left abandoned or whatever. You can find some fascinating video, which of course I cannot attest of the veracity, but you can find some videos of guys that go into the Torino Winter Olympic Games installation.
Oh, okay.
And I remind you that it was in 2006. It was not that long, I think. It was in 2006. And some of the installations are totally derelict, and they were never used again, and they are worthless.
Sorry.
It's just pollution in the end.
Sorry, this is 13 years in the pre-Alps of the Italy? But that's not possible because... No, that's not possible because we have satellites working for 50 years already in outer space without any maintenance. And now you're telling me that in 13 years some... ski jump thing is completely run down? That's not possible.
I will figure that firstly there is a lot of money of stealing clearly in those kind of public construction work. I mean, you can probably do the job for half the price at that quality. And one thing I really
I think we're talking about 10 to 20 times over.
Probably.
Price.
And I also remember one thing.
It's free money, right?
Yes. There is one picture also that I remember that stayed with me. It was the podium for the Sarajevo Olympic Games, and it was riddled with bullets. Supposedly, they executed people there. Supposedly. And it's
I believe that in the Balkans, I tend to... Yes.
I tend to believe that, but I really try to find first-hand information.
Yeah, of course, that's great. Yeah, sure.
To have a lot of a better view on what is happening, because it's really, really difficult to find any information that is not totally one-sided.
Do you know Jacques Léon?
Who?
Jacques Léon.
No.
Well, this is a... I think he's Croatian, but I'm not sure, but at least Yugoslavian... Swedish, of which there are many, and he made great videos exposing staged events in the Balkan Wars, among other things, also the one with the beer truck in Stockholm and so. And his channel has been taken down, unfortunately, but he had very good, very sharp videos on these kind of topics. And this stuff, I mean, like what we talked about, the umpteenth baby hoax, or some scientist in Crete. Okay, but this is the Balkan War. There is a lot of reality in it, and it's still impactful, and I think that's like what they did before, like all this last terrorism. I mean, that is interesting, and good to see documented that, right? I'm not saying her work was bad, so no. I mean, that makes much more sense than a baby hoax, I would say. But,
yes, and also about the Balkan War is, at least for people in Europe, is fascinating in the sense that it helped reinforce or create altogether a lot of criminal network that are playing right now. And not only criminal network, but for example, as far as it's the first time that we heard about people since I think the Spanish War that were going to another country to wage war or whatever. It was the first occurrence of the Islamist militant going, like, for example, in Bosnia and joining militia and fighting.
Yeah, okay, yeah, there was the Mujahideen with the Soviet Union.
Exactly.
Okay,
that is the first occurrence of a massive recruitment network in Europe, and people are still at work right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if we know our history, we know our future. It's a kind of a saying. It's very important to identify those networks and to know that in the end, the facilitation of massive drug smuggling during the late 90s is due, in my opinion, in big part to the Balkan War. And yes, the fact that some people were allowed to operate under the disguise of the law but having criminal activity.
Yeah, I mean, it's just what happened in Russia.
Yes, and exactly. And if you look at Serbia, for example, one character, not to stay too much on that topic, but one character that is fascinating is a militia chief called Arkan. I don't know if you are familiar with the name.
Yeah.
The Lazio supporter put out a banner for this guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy was a...
Yes.
He put a banner for the Arkan Tigers, which was his militia.
And also, didn't he greet, like, after a goal or so, he made, like, a salute, which was a reference to him?
Probably.
At least somewhere that happened. I remember. There are many more of these scandals.
So he was a guy that was evaluating at the frontier of the underworld and the political world. Supposedly, he shot a cop once. He didn't get to prison for that. He was still... not long after the end of the last Balkan War, I mean, when the Serbian wanted to take part of Kosovo and Albania back.
Mm-hmm.
So, he died a few times after, but this guy was fascinating because he was, at the first time of the war, a criminal, not a small-time criminal, a band leader, let's say, a mafia leader.
Yeah, like a Pablo Escobar, right?
Yes, and suddenly you find this guy at the head of 200 or 300 well-armed and well-trained guys doing the most atrocious thing on the theater of operation. And apparently, if you believe some things that I read or heard over the internet, the guy operated without not much oversight, kind of doing what he wanted to do and was allowed to do that.
And I mean, it was such a power vacuum, right? The Balkans is such a complex area, always has been the case. And we don't have a lot of access to information, because, well, first, primary sources, we cannot read these languages, right? So we rely on English information, which is already secondary, and most probably it's third, tertiary, and even farther, right? So Luckily, we have a lot, and that's great, of personal experiences, so first-hand experiences by people, yes, because of this migration, right?
Yes, but I tell you, to tell you the truth, it's very, 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 very difficult to have a different point of view on this conflict, because
Alfred
is living in Switzerland.
Yeah, I know.
That side of the story, which will paint the Serbian as the bad guy and the warmonger and the genocide, whatever.
But there are also Serbians in Switzerland.
Yes, but not that not many, and they are not that vocal about some political issues.
No, of course, and they don't have the size to have a platform, a big enough platform. But the thing is, it's not relying on any platform or media story, it's relying on personal talk, right? The old lady sitting next to you on the bench. Maybe yes, exactly. You want to talk about that a bit more? I don't know if you want to explain a bit more, but I find it so beautiful. This lady
yes, sitting that, next that's to you. Something that that went into the conversation with the DFJ.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to one up us all together, so he was really not listening to the point I was trying to make. The point I was trying to make, I answered him about his question about real life experience, and I had the chance at the beginning of this week to have a great life experience, real life experience. As I was sitting on a bench late morning, I think it was Tuesday, this nice lady walked by me. She was very old, walking with crutches in both hands, and she said, "Can I sit there?" I said, "Oh, yes, of course." And I had like this 1 hour and a half, 2 hour conversation with this wonderful 93 years old lady with all her mental faculty and a great perspective on life. And I think that those are the people that we must try to find and get some knowledge from, as we were doing in the tribal time in the end.
Yes. I mean, they're not necessarily right or so about some. It's not that older people, I used to think that quite until pretty late, 20s, I would say, that I would unconsciously, immediately, that older people were right about something because they had more years of experience. That is, of course, not the case, but it's also not the case, right? There is something to it, and I respect life experience a lot. And so this lady, it's incredible that she talked to him. It's not incredible because it's believable. So, different word, but it's great you did it. But do you want to share what she talked about?
One point that stayed with me, it's kind of a dark point and it's a sad story, but let's go there anyway. She had this grandchildren that were, she said at age 10, showing some kind of gender confusion, to use a modern term of some sort. And it only got worse with age, at least that's how she put it. So she said it as a kind of a disease of some sort. And she said that it was worse when they started growing up and they were girls at start. They wanted to be boys. And it ended
two?
Up so that...
Sorry. Two?
They were twins.
Same time?
They were twins.
Twins! And they both had this gender confusion.
Yes, they showed the same trouble or whatever. Wow. Which is not uncommon for twins to act in the same way. If one, one twin shows some kind of...
No, but this way, right? I mean, this
yes, but I think that... I don't think that it's uncommon for twins to exhibit the same mental trouble.
No, I don't think so. No, of course, I don't think so either. But this particular point, gender dysphoria, is pretty serious. it's a bit different than having pimple in the same spot or so. This is not pimple, no, it's right. having both one blue eye and one brown eye or something. This is a bit different than thinking you or wanting to be the different sex.
Yes, but I will think that the same genetic and same upbringing can bring similarity in the results. But anyway, she was saying that sadly enough, one of the two of the twins killed her or him or itself at age 20. And she said what the lady was not understanding, because she was reasonable. She was totally aware of the fact that some people are strange. You know, we were speaking about the fact that it was a time when you have apparently like one transvestite in the neighborhood that is going to pick grocery dressed as a woman once in a while, and no one give a shit, no one speak badly about him or whatever. But what the lady was saying is that it was strange because there were normal little girls in the sense of morphologically or whatever, you know, it was not like they were a manly woman. So that's what stayed with her. And she had absolutely no greed of reference to understand what was happening to her family, you know?
No, of course. Yeah, I mean, it must be so confusing.
Yes. And even though she has seen it and heard it all, she was still incapable of understanding what was happening in the world in that sense.
But you see how dangerous this gender agenda is, this transgender, because of the spread of it, right? I mean, it doesn't only happen on the person itself, but it's the whole environment around it, and this push for, yeah, we need to accept it and embrace it and get physical and so on. And with chemistry, with chemicals, with hormones and so on, and not, at least for the first years, treat it as what it is, a psychological problem. And it may be a psychological problem that is shared by two twins, right?
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support. In my dream, I
have a plan. So I once said, and I said that probably this many times, and I want to change my stance. I said that we were less propagandized about transgender things and whatever in Switzerland. I was wrong. It's the same as everywhere. It's not even worse than probably in some other countries. So I stand corrected. My perception of things was wrong. And I since then saw and hear different things that led me to think differently. So I wanted to say that because I say previously that I was not believing that there were much trans push in Switzerland, but there is clearly, and I know see it.
Yeah, this is the thing. I mean, you suddenly get a complete new view of the world because it's an area you have never been in, right? You don't know about its existence. But yeah, it's great. I mean, that's how we learn, right? We learn about new experiences from yourself, from other people, and then adjust your views.
Yes. Exactly, and that's why you get to be open to a new person and not be blinded by the fact that some person at the top are evil or whatever.
No,
and I tell you that, speak to older people when you meet them on the street, have a big conversation with them because it's obvious, but they have a lot of things to be shared, a lot.
And can you maybe dig a bit in your memory and share something else that you talked about that sparks interest?
Yes, the thing also that she said that really kind of shocked her as time went by is the fact that earlier on, women were not obligated to work. It was a total possibility. True. She said that she was already too old, but that she was very happy that she didn't have to be obligated to work and have the time to raise her child, and that it was possible to, and it was accepted, and it was totally, the society was designed for the fact that only on the husband income, you could sustain two or three children and give them a nice life.
Yes, yes.
And she said that was one of the main changes she could observe during her lifetime. That was really, really sad for her. The fact that, no, it's an obligation for both parents to work to afford a normal lifestyle.
Yeah, I can perfectly understand it. So what did she say about it? Did she say a bit more about it? Right.
She said that it was sad and that she don't really see, that she see it happening during time, and she did not understand why people did not react to it. Oh, it is possible that as a society we let that happen. When we speak about her life, she was a Dutch Swiss lady that lived in Sumatra from her birth, I think, to age 13. So it's always a great start in life to live in such a different environment.
Sorry, how old was she?
93, so it was 80 years old, earlier that she was in Sumatra.
No, 80 years ago, right?
Yeah, ago, I'm sorry.
Can you imagine 39. That? It was
And her parents were working in the tobacco business. It was a fascinating life. She spoke a bit about the interaction with the locals, which were way rougher than anything we can imagine right now.
Yes. And did she or her parents end in a Japanese prison camp? Because it was very bad in Indonesia then, in the war. Or she went to Switzerland before the war?
She did went to Switzerland, I think, during the war. At the moment where the trouble were really starting, they left for Switzerland.
Okay, yeah. Understandable. Yeah.
And she had a great life. She traveled a lot, been to a lot of places. And it's always fascinating to speak with someone that was already an adult when Kennedy was shot.
It's just
incredible.
Yes.
And she said that she totally believes that someone somewhere is knowing the whole story and that it will be revealed, but not on her last lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a safe bet, to be honest, you are 93. Yes. You don't take much of a risk on that.
Yeah, but it's the humor. Yeah.
Yes. And I really like also the fact we speak a bit about health, and she said that everything is good if you take good care of yourself until you are 85, in her case. She said that it was the drop, you know, that since she's 85, she had to, at 90, stop to travel, which is pretty incredible to travel at 89 anyway. But she said that she had to stop to travel and... Oh, she's just waiting for her family members to come and speak a bit to her and see the child and try to get a bit of good memory before everything ends. But she was really happy about the fact that she had all her faculty and remember everything, no sign of Alzheimer or everything. So it was great.
If you can talk to her more, right? I mean, it's nice to have... I don't know, it doesn't need to be an obligation or so, but maybe once a week or so. And
I can also understand that her husband died, but I did not want to go far into the issue with someone I don't know.
It's a safe bet, I would say, right? Just like...
But just incredible to speak with someone that got married in 1950.
Yes.
Just that. Can you imagine that? So,
I spoke to my grandparents, of course, and they married in 1932. But yeah.
Yes. And she
today,
also said
that's
that
different.
That,
she
not say that in this term, but she said that the egalitarian society was a problem because stupid people doesn't have job. And she said that stupid people doesn't have job anymore because they cannot. Do repetitive tasks or whatever because of the machine. And she see this as a problem. She said that it was always possible when she was younger for someone that was totally dumb to have a normal life, having his own place and pay tax, having a job, a stupid and low-paying job, but still some dignity in life. Yep. And she said that it's sad that it was replaced by the welfare state.
Yeah, I mean, in my grandmother's family, for my mother, they had a business in paint and glass and so, which was a very common and good business back then, right? Early 20th century and so, and later, of course. But, I mean, if there was a disabled born boy or girl or so, or blind or deaf or so, yeah, then he or she is in the corner cutting the receipts or so, something, doing something stupid, but still completely accepted as a functioning, normal member of society. That is the natural way, I mean, not being paternalized.
That is also welfare in a sense, because in the end, that's the community of individuals that take upon themselves the responsibility to give a living, a decent living to someone. But it's a good welfare in the sense that it's the responsibility of the people. And they know this guy or this girl firsthand. They know that there is not an ounce of evilness in them, you know?
So, this is welfare. This is the only welfare, right?
Yes.
Because the other, we need to stop using that word, just like medical care, right, for an industry that we know is not doing that.
Yes.
So, yeah,
yes,
no,
they call that social security, but the thing is that, and some people will say that it's
for
a shame and that you should be totally against getting welfare or social benefits. But the thing is that I did not design that society, and if I ever go on welfare or social benefits, it's not totally in a sense, it's because of this country laws and regulation and limitation that I am not allowed to make a living for myself. I get to abide by the rules. And of course, the reward for that is that I am protected.
Now, you are protected, we can discuss about it. But the thing is, I used to think that what you described before, but now I look at it and think, come on, these motherfuckers are stealing everything, mind controlling, raping, whatever, killing, whatever. Can we please steal a bit back? I mean, please, you have my full support to abuse and use the system as much as possible, of course. The thing is, of course, what you talked about in the beginning, or at least what I thought there would be an interesting discussion about, is literally state slavery, right? This so-called universal basic income, that is literal state slavery. The state keeps alive. And it's not, you cannot stand up for yourself anymore, because you cannot apparently get a job or find some income, which I need to do myself too, right? But I'm not going to rely on the state. I cannot, because there is no such thing here. So that's easy. But that is completely destroying the natural creativity, curiosity, and tendency of mankind to make a living. To make a living for yourself.
That's why I'm totally against also the limitation of wage that you can give to someone, because what is the incentive to go under like 10 to 12 years of study on one specific subject? You will not make a crazy amount of money. I mean, if I know that my salary is limited at, let's say, something enormous, but 80,000 Swiss francs a month, I will not do
what?
Any study.
80,000? Not enormous. 80,000 francs a month? Sorry? A year?
You can do better. It's enormous, but it's not, you know.
Sorry,
it's
Gary.
Not
sorry.
Indecent,
sorry.
Let's say.
Sorry,
it
Gary.
It makes like for a million Gary. A year. It's not that much.
There are people who have a normal salary in Switzerland, like a good working class, I mean, middle class, not working, middle class salary would be 80,000 francs per year, I would say, right, for a family.
Yes.
I mean, like, that's not the minimum, and it's not, but it is also not the ultra rich, right? I mean, it's a good,
yes,
good
exactly.
Nice salary, but it's also for Switzerland, you lose your francs pretty quickly, let's say, right?
Yes, but my point was that if I know that my salary will be limited, any case scenario, whatever I do, to 80,000 francs a month, I will not enterprise anything that will guarantee me a higher salary. I will stop at that. Not that I am lazy or don't want to do nothing. But why would I take the hassle and spend time away from my family? Like if I create a big enterprise, if it's only to get a salary cap, if you know what I mean.
Well, and at least in my experience, there are way more people that are smart in this than what is portrayed in mainstream media and Hollywood and series and so, is this the idea that people only work to till their death and all that shit, right? People who already have money. Yes, that is a group of people, but there's also a lot of people who have made money in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, and then have invested it rightly for their family and offspring and so, right? And working less or doing other things or whatever, right? So, and I think it's interesting to find people who have that experience, because they In any society, the system works against entrepreneurship. In Holland, that is very big. I don't know how is that in Switzerland, but I can imagine that it's very hard to start a business and be at least a bit successful.
Yes, if you don't have a government contract or whatever like that, it's almost impossible to make profit
really?
Quickly.
Is it so? I mean, come on, there are...
Oh, there is always some things if you know what you are doing, but if you start from... Yes, of course, but...
Business activity in Switzerland, of course there is, but it's not... You have to overcome a couple of hurdles, right?
Yes, you cannot start like that into one specific industry. You get to know people, be connected. It's like everywhere.
And you need certificates for many things.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course.
I mean, let's say there is... there are people interested in coming to Geneva. You can show them around. You can drive them around. You get a car. This is not your car, but you get it. You can drive it. You don't have a license. But you can provide a service to these people, and they will pay you for that, and they will be happy. You will be happy. It is not possible. Right? Or that is not possible. That I should rephrase, because I'm a hypocrite. But it is... everything works against it. I mean, this is, let's say, legally impossible, at least, because you cannot drive people around without a driving license, legally, right? It is possible, but it's legally impossible.
Yes, it's very, very difficult to establish any kind of business, but if you get a strong financial backing, you can start, and if you are introduced into the good circle, you can do something great, of course. But it's very, very difficult to start something from scratch and, like opening a restaurant or whatever if you don't really know what you are doing well when you start. It's a very, very competitive environment in Geneva.
Yeah, and if you compare that to what is closer to the tribalist shamanist lifestyle, in such environments, it's actually much easier. Because if you want to become a farmer, you can do that. Now, anyone can do that. Because a piece of land, okay, you have to check for the fertility of it, but there's all kinds of ways to make it fertile. You can buy for the amount of money anyone can spend, right? It doesn't matter where. So you...
Yes.
And then you can become at least... I don't know. The success depends, of course, on the product and the factors, but in most cases, agriculture still is a major business, right?
Yes, but the thing in Switzerland, at least in Geneva, is that people will pay top dollar for something, but they want the best quality, the best service, the best everything, and they will not be happy until they have that. So
those are the best customers.
Yes, if you are able to provide the top quality service, but if you try to get away with something that is less than perfect.
Exactly. That makes Switzerland such a good developed country, no matter all the laws, the motherfucking going on, because every country has that, right? But that inspires society to develop and grow and be self-critical and so on, right? That is why this Germanic culture, I talked about it, but it has its good points, and also the Calvinistic, I mean, there are good points in it, right? Ethic and so on.
Yeah, there are good points, but it's also very, very fucked up. I mean, try to speak somebody on the street. It's very, very difficult. I was speaking about this lady, but it's only because she's old and she has nothing to lose anymore that she's willing to speak with a stranger. Here it's very, very, very cold. I got a friend that said once that if you manage to pull up an ugly girl out of the street in Geneva, you can do that with a model anywhere else in the world.
No, I get it. I know. I mean, I haven't been to Geneva yet. I would like to. The same or similar happens in other places in Europe. I know that. It works like that. And it's also different if you go to a village in Geneva and you speak the language and you talk about something that is not hostile to their community or so, right? I mean, you talk about cattle on the Sundays when there's the cattle market or whatever, right? Then people will accept you, or at least superficially respect you enough that you can have a normal conversation with those people regularly.
Oh, yes.
right? I mean, in the city, people are much more, tend to be much more, yeah, busy with other stuff and not wanting to talk to strangers and so on. This is a phenomenon that is everywhere in the world, right? I mean,
yes, that is clearly true.
That is, I mean, of course you can compare things. There's no, nothing shame of comparing things, of course. But, I mean, it would be like comparing Bogota to Geneva, I think, in that sense, is on this kind of subject, I would say, is more countryside, more of an urban thing than actually, as I said, don't talk to me. In cities everywhere in the world, even in warm-hearted Colombia, where people really take the time for each other, it happens.
Yes, that is true. Anyway, I'm gonna have to leave it at that because I get to start to cook.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Chris from HoaxBustersCall.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Oh, Chris. That is great. Please come back, yeah.
Incredible. It's the best closing bumper we could have, I think. Almost.
Yeah,
the best.
You know that I always.
We started the discussion about those individuals, and then we have the bumper. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's. Did you listen back to the track? Well, it was with Ross and Carrie One, and so.
A little bit, little bit, but I didn't listen to the entirety yet.
Okay, now it was interesting, but way different than the first hours of Jet. So yeah, no, it was interesting.
Okay.
Yeah, just like today. I mean, in the middle of the fighting, in the middle.
In the middle.
We had a good chat about. I mean, finally, you got the story out there about the woman, right? I mean, that's what it's about, not about.
Yes. Yes, there is only so much time that you can spend in fighting and whatever. And in the end, to be honest, it's probably boring to the person listening. It's good that you can end up on a good note and speak a bit normally, like a reasonable human.
Yeah, thanks. It was good. Well, man, enjoy your cooking. I am.
Yes, thank you very much.
I had my cooking yesterday. I had a good pay. So today we're going to do something else. Listen.
Yes, it will make too much noise with the oil and everything, so it's not possible to continue speaking, at least not on the quality required.
Okay,
so anyway, bye everyone, and I let you close everything.
Now you put me on the spot, because I normally always look for music and things, and then I don't have it ready.
I will try to sing, so...
Oh, maybe I have something.
Alouette,
no.
Alouette. Rest for saying that once.
But then please sing. I mean, I love to hear you. I'm sure you have a beautiful singing voice, guys.
Not so sure of that. Anyway, I'm going to leave, everyone. Bye bye.
Okay, bye.
Fakeologist.com. 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 Fakeologist.com.
The Puppet Show.
No, it's vicious.
The Puppet Show.
No, it's vicious.
The Puppet Show.
No,
there is a conductor for this fake orchestra.
It's not real! It's just the same fucking bullshit where they're going with this. You can see where they're going with it. Where are we going with this? This is always the thing I always like to ask. Where are you going with that?
Can I change the subject for a second?
I see where you're going with that. Pathologist, where people change the fucking rules.
wrong avenues, rabbit trails or whatever.
Yeah, rabbit trails.
Yeah. Fiasco is like a wicker basket around a lovely bottle of wine. Simon Shack would love that word.
If they can control the opposition and sail it off the cliff, then it really is effective at neutralizing a movement.
Are we setting ourselves up for another explosion, another intrusion?
It's just the same fucking bullshit.
The Puppet Show.
It's always vicious. Psychologist.com. It's not real!
Hey. This is all BS. This is all nonsense.
Psychologist.com.
So maybe if you look inside yourself, the person you should be most angry at is you. You. How have you been feeling? Any more control issues?
It's not real!
Good.
How are you?
Excellent.
It's me.
Abscam.
Hey, we're having a meeting here, man. You're being really rude.
Abscam.
2212.
Hello, my muse. How are you?
Can you hear me? Noisy tangent. Can you hear me then? Well, I'm here.
You? Psychologist.
No, no.
2212. Psychologist. 2212. Psychologist.com.
Yeah. It's not real!
Good.
I'm not a
court-appointed sponsor. We don't use the
2212
word. It's his trigger word.
Been pretty quiet lately, so sort of fizzled out in my world. This they call this puppet show. Puppet show. Puppet show.
Here we go.
The psychologist puppet show. Puppet show. Puppet show. Face of horn. It's not all about me. Puppet show. Puppet show.
Here we go.
The psychologist puppet show. Puppet show. Puppet show. Abhorrent. It could be the psychologist puppet show.
You know what I mean?
I'm glad to be here. That always gives me chills. That is believable to me. And it's very sad.
2212.
I see where he's going with that.
Fuzzy bear. What? Where did you get these thoughts? Are you kidding me? No, it's not going to happen.
Psyop never ends.
2212.
Hello, sunshine.
Calm down.
How's the chest?
Wow, where did this come from? It's literally out of left field.
777.
The number of the beast.
Having troubles, you know?
That's what attracted me to you in the first place, the white rabbit.
Calm down, Rolo.
Fuzzy bear.
Yeah.
They call this puppet show. Puppet show. Puppet show.
Here we go.
They call this puppet show. Puppet show. Puppet show.
Abhorrent. It could be the psychologist puppet show. You know what I mean?
The Beatles.
The so-called space probe known as the launch of the Sputnik 1, and in this interview, how that event was in fact a hoax. Nobody died, nobody got hurt. And an understanding of this hoax is important to understand the outer space hoax, because a lot of people seem to realize that it's worth being skeptical about the so-called moon landings and the so-called Mars rover. But they don't seem to understand that those two things are merely red herrings, and outer space itself is a hoax. What are you talking about, Jelby? That can't be. Yeah, I know, but let's just take a look and see where this video goes. So this is the Sputnik 1, and this is Wikipedia.org, and it tells us that the Sputnik 1 was the first artificial Earth satellite. The Soviet Union launched into an elliptical low Earth orbit in 1957. Orbiting for 3 weeks before its batteries died, then silently for 2 more months before falling back into the atmosphere. It was 58 centimeters diameter polished metal sphere with 4 external radio antennas to broadcast radio pulses. Its radio signal was easily detectable even by radio amateurs, and the 65 degree inclination and duration of its orbit made its flight path cover virtually the entire inhabited Earth. The satellite's unanticipated success precipitated the American Sputnik crisis and triggered the space race, a part of the Cold War. The launch was the beginning of a new era of political, military, technological, and scientific developments. Wow, sounds pretty interesting, doesn't it? The beginning of a new political era known as the space race, part of the Cold War. Because, you see, East Asia and Eurasia and Oceania, they had different alignments during World War II, but a few years later, all of a sudden the alignments changed and now the Americans are against the Soviets. I'll have a look at some archival footage of Sputnik, and I've fast-forwarded this video to the part that I think you're going to love. Check this out. That beep that you can hear right now, that's the beep they're referring to when they say that it was broadcast and even amateurs could hear it. This is what they're talking about. Holy shit, man, we can hear Sputnik.
Those eerie signals from the Soviet satellites circling the Earth were man's first soundings in the boundless regions of outer space. Moscow announced to the world the first step into the space age. The satellite was launched to coincide with the birthday centenary of Konstantin Tsiolkovsky, the outstanding Soviet scientist seen in these old newsreel shots.
Guys, I'm not making this up. This is archival footage. I'll put a link in the info box if you want to go and check it out. This is meant to be real, okay? Just get your heads around that.
Today, the scientist's home is a museum. A museum that houses a man's dreams and his blueprints of many years ago for the ultimate conquest of space.
Just think that this is how the space race was first propagated to the masses. This is all it took. This kind of nonsense is all it took to convince the Lemming masses that all of a sudden humans were sending stuff into outer space.
A reconstruction of the launching of the Soviet satellite with a tiny world situated in the nose of a multi-stage rocket.
The old multi-stage rocket.
First, from ground level, the takeoff. Then, mile after mile, the great climb was...
Think about that. They were literally using cartoons, and that was good enough to convince the learning masses three generations ago. And do you really think people today are that much smarter, really? Do you think people are smarter now? If they could convince the learning masses with cartoons over the cartoon, this is like they're showing a cartoon as a cartoon. The learning masses? What makes you think that people are any smarter today?
Made each stage of the rocket falling away to cut down the dead weight. Finally, at the plotted height, 560 miles above the Earth, the satellite breaks free to circle the Earth every 95 minutes, sending signals back as it speeds on. Around the world, scientists have plotted the course of the man-made moon, flashing around the Earth at 5 miles per second.
Scientists have plotted the course. Oh, well, they've got their little compasses and protractors and draftsmen's tables, and these scientists must know exactly what's going on up there in space.
In Britain, the satellite was tracked at the Radio Astronomical Research Station of Cambridge University, where the Russian Professor Kapitsa, one of the brains behind the Red Moon, was once a research professor. When the tiny man-made world began girdling the Earth, the station quickly improvised apparatus to plot its course. And here it comes, approaching Cambridge at 18,000 miles an hour.
Use the experts, guys. Huh? How can you argue with that? Do you hear that, Charlie?
This is how the signals from the satellite were picked up on its first journey across Britain.
Ooh. Beep, 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 beep. Almost sounds evil. An evil Russian satellite.
Man had received his first message from outer space.
That's all it took, guys. That's all it took. Just a few generations ago. Now, we claimed to have sent animals to... This is meant to be the launch of the Sputnik 2. So they show us the first part, which is the clown rocket launching off, but then they cut to a cartoon. Yep, cartoon time. And there's your little superimposed doggy on the cartoon hurtling into space. Now remember, this Sputnik was supposed to be the thing that started this so-called space race. Because remember, this is the story. Oh, the Russians, they wanted to beat the US to the moon. So the US wanted to beat the Russians to the moon. They wanted to get full dominance of outer space with spy satellites and all this kind of nonsense here. That's the story. And it all goes back to Sputnik, at least insofar as sending man-made objects into space that can broadcast beeps and what have you. So the point I'm making with this is that what you think you know about space today, you probably think, oh, people have always believed that we could send men into space, or people have always believed in outer space. No, they haven't. No, they haven't. People had to be convinced that there was a place called outer space, and what better way to do it than to tell people that you're sending beepy-sounding machines up there, and you're sending cute little lovable dogs up there as well, and all this kind of crap. That's how you convince people that this place is real, by telling people you've sent stuff there. And, oh, we've got the experts, and the experts are tracking its every move. See? Look at these experts. Look at these guys. They're tracking it. They're tracking the whole thing. And the living masses at home, who are dumb as dog's balls, goodness gracious me, are they stupid, they just go along with this. And if some of them do think to themselves, hey, any evidence whatsoever that outer space is real, these are just cartoons and stuff. Not deceiving me. Everyone just says, well, you're crazy, man. You're crazy. Why would they lie about outer space? Why would they lie about that? Why would they lie about that? Well, I'm telling you, they're lying about that. There is no such thing as outer space. Outer space is, in fact, a hoax. Nobody died. Nobody got hurt. Same as a Sputnik. Same as the moon landings, the Challenger disaster. All fake. All completely fake. And if you want to see some of my evidence or hear some of my reason for why I say this, check out the link in the info box below. Here's a podcast I released just a couple of weeks ago. Completely free. It's called The Outer Space Hoax. It's only a short one, about an hour long, I think. Let's see. about an hour long.
All right, 2-2-1.
50 minutes long. It's only a short podcast. It's free. Go and check that out. I think you'll enjoy it. And for those of you who want to look further into this outer space hoax, I also recommend a piece I released more than a year ago now.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Which is a 4,000-word piece.
What more do you want tacked onto this? 9/11 was an inside job?
Was it?
Who cares? Global acts of terrorism happen every day.
Where I talk about outer space. Why do people believe in it? What evidence do they have? How come so many people use these appeals to authority, appeals to consensus? I go into a ton of detail about all of this, and that is available to MOOC members of JohnLeBond.com, which is now just $9.11 Australian per month, which works out to $6.16, that's right. For $6, you get instant access to all of this material, article after article, page after page, series after series. Goodness gracious me, this is the best deal in town. But if $6 US is outside of your price range, just go and check this free podcast. 50 minutes, I explain the whole lot, it'll all make sense to you. And those of you who still believe in these stupid freaking cartoons, Sputnik satellites, and then we live in strange times, man. Strange times indeed. Check the links in the info box below, and until next time, you guys, take care of yourselves.
Okay, so the Titanic disaster was a hoax. Nobody died, and nobody got hurt, and there is no Titanic wreckage at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. Okay, so in this video, we're going to take a look at some of the so-called evidence that you think you've seen that tells you that there is a boat called the Titanic at the bottom of the North Atlantic Ocean. You've seen pictures like this, have you? Let's take a look at this. Yeah, you've seen images like this. This convinces you that there's a boat at the bottom of the Atlantic, does it? You find this convincing, do you? Yeah? How about these photos from the past? How about this? You find this image convincing, do you? Let's have a look at this. You think this is a real image of a real boat that really sunk because it hit a real iceberg? You believe this, do you? That's your honest belief, yeah? Well, I can't judge you for that, because I used to believe this as well. I really did. I used to believe all this kind of crap. But it turns out that the Titanic is a hoax. Nobody died, nobody got hurt, period. Now, you're going to say to me, well, JLB, what's your evidence? Why would you say such a thing? It's a very controversial thing for you to say. In fact, it's so controversial, I think you're saying it just to be controversial. I think you know full well that there's a big boat at the bottom of the deep blue sea, and that 1,500 people sunk on that boat. I think you know that full well, and you're just saying this for the clickbait, or for the attention, or for some kind of nefarious or cheeky purpose. Yeah, is that what you're thinking? All right, let's take a look at this. This is called the Wreck of the Titan, or Futility. The Wreck of the Titan, or Futility, author Morgan Robertson. The copy that we're looking at was published in 1912, the same year that Titanic supposedly went down, but the original book was published in the late 1800s, 1898 in fact. Now, what happens in this book that was published originally before the Titanic event? Well, wouldn't you know it? A gigantic boat full of wealthy people, an unsinkable boat, it hits an iceberg, and it falls to the bottom of the deep blue sea, and it doesn't have enough life rafts on it, because they're so confident that they're going to never have to worry about sinking that they don't even bother with the lifeboats. Now, where have you heard that story before? Where have you heard this story before? Oh, that's right, the Titanic story. But this book was published more than a decade before the Titanic. Right? I'll put a link in the info box below. You can go and check this out yourself. It's on archive.org. Now, how do you explain this? How do you explain that? How do you explain stuff like this, man?
Oh, it's just a coincidence.
Lemmings, goodness gracious. So anyway, what I'll also put a link to in the info box below is a couple of podcasts that we've done recently at johnlebond.com. The Futility Hoax is what you want to check out. We talk about this event, the Titanic event, the fact that nobody died, nobody got hurt. It was a made-for-TV movie, 1997, but a made-for-book story, 1800s. That's right. That's right. Unfortunately, however, this podcast is only for full members of JohnLeBond.com, which means that people who are bad with money, which is pretty much everybody,
can't afford to see it, unfortunately, because, yeah, it costs money. My website does cost money. And a lot of people are just absolutely terrible with money. But I've got some good news for you, and that is this. I've also released in both video and audio format The History Hoax Explained. This is 2 hours, completely free. You don't have to sign up for anything. Just click on the link in the info box below. And you can either watch the video, 2 hours, or listen to the podcast, 2 hours, and The History Hoax is explained. So this is available to everybody. But the podcast, just like more than 150 hours of content on johnlebon.com, is only for the full members. So that'll do us for today. John LeBon on 18th of July 2019. Check those links in the info box below. In George Orwell's 1984, the government of Oceania lie about their own weapons, apparently in an attempt to scare their own populace, but also to command their authority. And they play footage of war on the telescreens for the masses to lap up and to believe. And most of the masses do believe what is on the screen. In fact, almost all of them do. What I'm going to suggest to you in this video is that perhaps it's worth us questioning how much we really know about the weapons that our governments have, or at least that they tell us that they have, on our television screens. This is from NASA, which is of course a government and even a military organization there in the United States. And this is a little picture that they have talking about the center of gravity for a rocket. And as you can see, they suggest that the center of gravity might be somewhere in the middle, which seems logical to me as well, that the center of gravity would be somewhere in the middle, depending on where the warhead is and how heavy that is, and where the fuel is and how heavy that is. You would think that the center of gravity would be somewhere around the middle. And I happen to agree with that idea. It seems sensible to me. I'm sure it seems sensible to you as well. If we look at the Concorde aircraft, you can see that even though it was flying very fast and so able to get more lift from the same surface area of the wings, they stored fuel in the wings. That's where the fuel was stored. So even though their wings are sort of towards the back, even they have a lot of wing in the middle. And even if their center of gravity is towards the back, it might be back here somewhere, their center of gravity is still towards the middle, and their wings accommodate that by heading towards the middle as well. And you can contrast that with this simple rocket that they've got here, which only seems to have what would give the rocket lift at the back. Now, where am I going with this? Well, before I go further, let's take a look at how we all seem to think that missiles operate. This is from the Independence Day film from 1996, so more than 20 years ago, and I remember watching it many, many times as a child. It was one of my favourite movies, actually, but I haven't seen it in a long time. I might have to go back and rewatch the whole thing. But I distinctly remember this particular scene, so let's just play a few seconds of the film right now.
Roger that. Los Angeles Tax Squadron has AMRAAM missiles locked on target. Washington, New York Squadron is reporting lock on.
Fire at will.
Fire at will.
Fire at will.
Nice, we are red and free. Night one. Missiles have been fired. No, sir, not one.
Command, night one, command, night one.
Dear. So the missiles didn't work. I'm not sure if you picked up on that, but they said they were using AMRAAM missiles, and then when they didn't work, they switched to Sidewinder missiles. And I happened to find this image. Where are we here? Now, this is from armedforces.co.uk, and they show their AMRAAM missile on top and their Sidewinder missile underneath. So this gives you some idea of what these missiles look like. Now, what stands out to me is that the lift that these rockets could possibly get must be coming from these fins here in the middle or at the back, and then in the case of the Sidewinder, here at the back or here at the front. And the reason why I find this interesting is to do with basic Newtonian physics when it comes to the center of gravity and the way that forces work on an object. So what I did was I looked into how do missiles actually get lift. We know how planes get lift from their wings, from their large wings. Even the Concorde, as we looked at earlier, even though it travels very fast, greater than the speed of sound, even it still has massive wings with a big surface area that extend all the way through to where we would imagine their center of gravity to be. But then when we compare that with some missile designs, we see that many missiles appear to be designed with their lift apparatus, if we assume the fins give these objects lift, at the back. So if we go through, this is from aerospaceweb.org, if we go through all the different lists of missiles, some of them do have their fins in the middle, and for the sake of argument, I'm happy to take on face value that those fins generate enough lift to keep those missiles in the air. But then we get other ones like the Patriot, which has its fins at the back. We get ones like the AIM-9X, which is a Sidewinder, I believe, and it has these tiny little canards at the front. The Grumble only has its fins at the back. The ASRAM, fins at the back. You can go through this list yourself and take a look at the designs of these missiles. Now, the point that I'm making is that whereas the Sparrow has wings, which seems to be near where its center of gravity would be, and I'm happy to take that one on face value, these other ones have their lift apparatus nowhere near the center of gravity. Where are we? Look at this one here. If the lift is coming from there and the center of gravity is there, it seems to me there might be some problems. So I had a look at how stuff works and a whole bunch of other websites as well to get an idea of how they explain how these objects remain in the sky. Now, one of their pages lists a missile, and it shows the different components of it, if you like. And they talk about the rocket motor being in the middle. They've got fins at the front, wings at the back. And again, they show another image of a Sidewinder. So you can see here, again, we've got the fins at the back and the fins at the front. And I go into more detail on this page here, and I'll link to all of these pages for you to check them out for yourself if you're so interested. Now, they say that the flight fins themselves, which steer the missile through the air, just like the flaps on an airplane wing, the moving flight fins generate drag on one side of the missile, causing it to turn in that direction. I think they're talking about these fins here. Then it talks about the rear stabilizing wings, which provide the necessary lift to keep the missile aloft. So what that seems to imply is that it is these fins here that give the object lift. Now, here's where I'm going with this. If the center of gravity is somewhere near the middle, for argument's sake, that means that regardless of what you believe is the force that causes things to fall, whether you call it gravity or you call it something else, there is something that causes objects to fall unless those objects are being lifted by another force. So for the sake of argument, let's just call that gravity. You've got the center of gravity somewhere around there pushing down. Now, if you're getting lift from the back over here, then you can see that this object, if it doesn't have something at the front causing lift, is going to have to rotate around about that center of gravity. It's got the force acting down. It's got a force acting up. How on earth will this thing remain in the air? Now, as we saw, some of these pictures suggest that it does have a couple of little fins down here. Right now, the How Stuff Works article suggested that these aren't for lift, or that was the implication. But let's say that they are for lift. You've still got the problem that they're much smaller than the fins at the back, which means you're still going to have an uneven amount of lift on the object, which leads me to wonder, how does this thing stay in the air? Let's go back to that article from NASA. They've got this rocket here, and it's perpendicular. Now, I showed you that clip from Independence Day. Obviously, Independence Day is just a film, and I'm not suggesting that it's meant to be like real life, but I think the way that they show those missiles gliding through the air is similar to what most people believe about how these missiles can and or do operate. And again, that's what they've got shown here. This is perpendicular, it's at 90 degrees, and it is, you know, we can imagine it flying through the sky.
Again, let's look at the Concorde. The Concorde also has its wings towards the back, but look how far forward they go. And remember that this thing also holds a fuel, so its own center of gravity is towards the back, and its center of lift will be towards the back. So the Concorde, it's easy to see how this thing can maintain itself in the sky. It's got a big surface area on the wings, and its center of lift is similar to its center of gravity. This one makes logical sense. Now let's come back to this rocket. This is just an illustration, but you can see how this one doesn't make sense. Now let's go back to these missiles. Okay, so this one has its wings in the middle. This one, if we assume that these tiny little surface area fins are enough to generate the lift necessary for the missile, okay, we can see how that one kind of works. If we look at the Sidewinder, it's got these massive fins at the back, these little fins at the front. There's an imbalance there. But okay, maybe because it's got these ones at the back, maybe the center of gravity is towards the back, maybe these fins are enough to keep this one in the air. But then we go back and look at all the other missile types, like the ASRAM, the Grumble, etc., etc. I encourage you to go and look at these for yourself. My question is, how can those things remain in the air? Because those ones do not seem to have the fins at the front. The only way they could be generating lift is from their fins at the back. So what we can do is go back. This is what we're left with. How on earth could this kind of object remain in the sky, no matter how fast it's traveling through the sky? And how do you like my paint skills there? They're pretty cool, don't you reckon? No matter how fast this thing is traveling through the sky, it's only generating lift here, and its center of gravity won't be at the back. It won't be right at the back where the center of lift is. So this thing seems to me like it would have to be rotating about its center of gravity. That is, it would have to be dipping down. There's no way I can see this thing getting around it. Now, if you go and look into this further and ask people, hey, how can this object actually stay in the sky? How is it generating lift? You'll have people try and tell you that, oh, it uses thrust vectors. So let's use a different color here. They'll try and tell you that this thing forces its thrust out that way to push the thing up, okay? So it kind of, if you imagine, instead of getting its force this way, instead, it gets its force that way. But that's still a force acting down. It still requires something to push it up, okay? So if you add these forces together, you've still got your down, then you've got another down, and then you've got this up at the back, but about its center of gravity, it still doesn't explain how this can get lift to keep it going through the sky. It doesn't make sense to me. Now, I could be missing something here, and I'm more than open to hearing people explain this to me. Explain it like I'm five. Tell me what I'm missing here. Because I remember in Year 12 physics, we were taught something about bullets. All right, now just imagine that this is a gun, that's a bullet, and that's a bullet. And this one has just been dropped, and this one has been fired out of the front of the gun. Basically, what we were taught, and it makes perfect sense to me, is that if you took two bullets, one was fired from a gun at the same height and at the same time as somebody dropped a bullet right next to the gun, so long as that bullet was shot along the horizontal, that is, horizontal to the ground, that they would both hit the ground at the same time, because even though this bullet is traveling fast through the air, it's generating no lift. Okay, the shape of a bullet does not generate lift, and so even though it's traveling through the sky, it'll still have the same down force on it, and it will hit the ground at the same time as the bullet that's simply being dropped. Now, if you haven't taken physics or you haven't looked into this before, you might find this hard to believe. How can a bullet that's dropped at the same time as a bullet that's fired horizontal to the ground, how can they hit the earth at the same time? It really is simple. The gun is giving this a forward force, if you like, hitting across the earth, but it's still got the same down force as this bullet has. It'll still hit the ground at the same time. This is basic Newtonian physics. Very, very, very basic stuff. For an object to get lift, it needs to be generating lift. Now, for the sake of argument, if we assume that these little fins can generate enough lift to keep this object in the sky, which I think itself is questionable, but for the sake of argument, let's just take that on face value, that these little fins can generate enough lift to keep this object in the sky, you've still got the problem that its center of lift is a long way from its center of gravity. So if anyone out there can explain this to me, please, I'm all ears. But what I'm hoping is to get people who have actual evidence, maybe they've seen a missile with their own eyes, Maybe they've seen this plastic big thing. Maybe they've taken...
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
Forget about any of that stuff. I'm just saying, can these things remain in the air? And I'm starting off with the ones with the fins at the back and no fins at the front. And I'm just taking for granted for now that these fins could generate enough lift to keep these objects in the air. I just want to know if that can be done, if it can actually keep these objects in the air stable, given that the center of gravity is far away from the center of lift. That's where I'm starting, and then we can work our way from there. So if anyone can help me, by all means, I'm open-minded to it. In the meantime, I did speak about this exact topic on a recent video that I put together for my website. What I've done is go ahead and make a segment, cut out a...
I don't like words that hide the truth. I don't like words that conceal reality. I don't like euphemisms or euphemistic language. And American English is loaded with euphemisms because Americans have a lot of trouble dealing with reality. Americans have trouble facing the truth. So they invent a kind of a soft language to protect themselves from it. And it gets worse with every generation. For some reason, it just keeps getting worse. I'll give you an example of that. There's a condition in combat. Most people know about it. It's when a fighting person's nervous system has been stressed to its absolute peak and maximum, can't take any more input. The nervous system has either snapped or is about to snap. In the First World War, that condition was called shell shock. Simple, honest, direct language. Two syllables, shell shock. Almost sounds like the guns themselves. That was 70 years ago. Then a whole generation went by, and the Second World War came along, and the very same combat condition was called battle fatigue. Four syllables now. Takes a little longer to say. Doesn't seem to hurt as much. Fatigue is a nicer word than shock. Shell shock. Battle fatigue. Then we had the war in Korea in 1950. Madison Avenue was riding high by that time. And the very same combat condition was called operational exhaustion. Hey, we're up to eight syllables now. And the humanity has been squeezed completely out of the phrase. It's totally sterile now. Operational exhaustion. Sounds like something that might happen to your car. Then, of course, came the war in Vietnam, which has only been over for about 16 or 17 years. And thanks to the lies and deceit surrounding that war, I guess it's no surprise that the very same condition was called post-traumatic stress disorder. Still eight syllables, but we've added a hyphen. And the pain is completely buried under jargon. Post-traumatic stress disorder. I'll bet you, if we'd have still been calling it shell shock, some of those Vietnam veterans might have gotten the attention they needed at the time. I'll bet you that. But it didn't happen. And one of the reasons is because we were using that soft language. That language that takes the life out of life. And it is a function of time. It does keep getting worse. Give you another example. Sometime during my life, toilet paper became bathroom tissue. I wasn't notified of this. No one asked me if I agreed with it. It just happened. Toilet paper became bathroom tissue. Sneakers became running shoes. False teeth became dental appliances. Medicine became medication. Information became directory assistance. The dump became the landfill. Car crashes became automobile accidents. Partly cloudy became partly sunny. Motels became motor lodges. House trailers became mobile homes. Used cars became previously owned transportation. Room service became guest room dining. And constipation became occasional irregularity.
When I was a little kid, if I got sick, they wanted me to go to the hospital and see the doctor. Now they want me to go to a health maintenance organization or a wellness center to consult a health care delivery professional. Poor people used to live in slums. Now the economically disadvantaged occupy substandard housing in the inner cities. And they're broke. They're broke. They don't have a negative cash flow position. They're fucking broke. Because a lot of them were fired. You know, fired. Management wanted to curtail redundancies in the human resources area. So many people are no longer viable members of the workforce. Smug, greedy, well-fed white people have invented a language to conceal their sins. It's as simple as that. The CIA doesn't kill anybody anymore. They neutralize people. Or they depopulate the area. The government doesn't lie. It engages in disinformation. The Pentagon actually measures nuclear radiation in something they call sunshine units. Israeli murderers are called commandos. Arab commandos are called terrorists. Contra killers are called freedom fighters. Well, if crime fighters fight crime and firefighters fight fire, what do freedom fighters fight? They never mention that part of it to us, do they? Never mention that part of it. And some of this stuff is just silly. We all know that. Like on the airlines, they say they want a pre-board. Well, what the hell is pre-board? What does that mean? To get on before you get on? They say they're going to pre-board those passengers in need of special assistance. Cripples! Simple, honest, direct language. There's no shame attached to the word cripple that I can find in any dictionary. No shame attached to it. In fact, it's a word used in Bible translations. Jesus healed the cripples. Doesn't take seven words to describe that condition. But we don't have any cripples in this country anymore. We have the physically challenged. Is that a grotesque enough evasion for you? How about differently abled? I've heard them called that, differently abled. You can't even call these people handicapped anymore. They'll say, we're not handicapped, we're handicapable. These poor people have been bullshitted by the system into believing that if you change the name of the condition, somehow you'll change the condition. Well, hey, cousin, doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. We have no more deaf people in this country. Hearing impaired. No one's blind anymore, partially sighted or visually impaired. We have no more stupid people. Everybody has a learning disorder. Or he's minimally exceptional. How would you like to be told that about your child? He's minimally exceptional. Oh, thank God for that. Psychologists actually have started calling ugly people those with severe appearance deficits. It's getting so bad that any day now I expect to hear a rape victim referred to as an unwilling sperm recipient. And we have no more old people in this country. No more old people. We shipped them all away and we brought in these senior citizens. Isn't that a typically American 20th century phrase? Bloodless, lifeless. No pulse in one of them. A senior citizen. But I've accepted that one. I've come to terms with it. I know it's here to stay. We'll never get rid of it. That's what they're going to be called, so I'll relax on that. But the one I do resist, the one I keep resisting, is when they look at an old guy and they'll say, look at him, Dan. He's 90 years young. Imagine the fear of aging that reveals. To not even be able to use the word old to describe someone. To have to use an antonym. And fear of aging is natural. It's universal, isn't it? We all have that. No one wants to get old. No one wants to die. But we do. So we bullshit ourselves. I started bullshitting myself when I got to my 40s. As soon as I was in my 40s, I'd look in the mirror and I'd say, well, I guess I'm getting older. Older sounds a little better than old, doesn't it? Sounds like it might even last a little longer. Bullshit, I'm getting old. And it's okay, because thanks to our fear of death in this country, I won't have to die. I'll pass away.
or I'll expire like a magazine subscription. If it happens in the hospital, they'll call it a terminal episode. The insurance company will refer to it as negative patient care outcome. And if it's the result of malpractice, they'll say it was a therapeutic misadventure. I'm telling you, some of this language makes me want to vomit. Well, maybe not vomit. Makes me want to engage in an involuntary personal protein spill. Thank you all.
That's all, folks.